ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to the show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have now come to the main event of the evening.
Okay, y'all, this is it.
It had to happen sooner or later.
It's party time.
We deserve an adventure.
Y'all ready for this?
Hit me.
Live from Kansas City, it's the Up All Night Radio Show with Stephen McKay and Travis Winters.
Hey now.
What's up?
I'm Stephen McKay.
And I'm Travis Winters.
Welcome to the Up All Night Radio Show, broadcasting live from beautiful Prairie Village, Kansas. I atop the KCR building, looking out over the light of the city, and here we are.
What an exciting light it is.
It is. It's going to be a great show tonight. Fantastic show. We got to get into it. So, yeah, we have a guest in the studio. We're going to be talking everything weird, everything paranormal, all kinds of stuff. We're just going to go wherever it goes, and so we're going to have a good time. We're not going to introduce him yet.
No, not yet.
But he's over there listening.
If you're watching on the camera, you can already see him.
Well, he was listening to the intro going, wow, that's a little much for this silly-ass internet show here. Let me get to the business so we can get that over with and get right to the show.
All righty.
Go to the website, macandtravis.com, M-A-C and Travis.com, macandtravis.com. Right there you're going to see the show notes we're going to be discussing, the chat box. Anybody in the chat box?
Oh, yeah. Seven people.
Seven people in the chat box. Come on, load up the chat box. If you have questions for our guests during the night, we want you to pop in there and we have the questions. Also, the webcam is there. And so there you go, macandtravis.com. Also, you'll notice we have a new affiliate. The X is broadcasting us tonight. Some great classic rock and the best of new rock, The X. And welcome aboard to the new affiliate.
Sweet. There.
And one other comment, one other bit of news. SVG, any moment now, she's going to be popping out that baby.
I thought she already had the baby.
No, she did not. That was an erroneous.
That was a false advertisement.
Yeah, it was a TMZ error. We seen it on TMZ and it was wrong. But our sexy voice girl, any moment now, at any second. She might be in labor right now.
She could be. I don't know. This will be your third one. It shouldn't be very long.
You know, if I call her and ask her, this is the response I get. Leave me alone, I'm pregnant. About ready to have a baby. So, there's the latest news from SVG.
Sweet.
Now we're about ready to get started.
Sweet, that's awesome.
I went through business way too fast.
You did. You went through business. That's faster than you've ever gone.
We got a lot to get to tonight. We got a lot to get to. So let's get started.
All right, we'll be right back with more Up All Night with Mac and Travis.
Hi, this is Steve Porter here from the English blues rock band Nice as Pie, reminding you to join me every Friday night at 11 p.m. through till midnight here on KCOR for the Steve Porter Show, and also 12 noon Sundays is repeated, so join me then for some great blues, some great rock, and a few good laughs as well. And bring some booze, will you?
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
My mind! Where is it? It's gone!
This is The Cockroach,
the Internet's talk superstation.
most talk radio is bullshit.
It's all over the internet.
I mean, really, aren't you people tired of listening to political crap yet?
This is madness.
We like to dress up as stuffed animals and have sex with each other.
What the deuce is going on?
The internet's talk superstation.
The cockroach.
MySpace.com/roachradio.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller, and you're listening to the Up All Night Radio Show with Mac and Travis, two bigger losers than me.
All right, back here on the Up All Night Radio Show, and let's get right to it, okay?
Sweet.
And here's some of the things that I've heard about him, and he'll have to tell us. I've seen on the internet, he's known as the Master of Splatter and the Prince of Gore. What do you think about that? Are you
Yeah, I've been down that road.
He's a movie director, producer, talk show host, band, playing a band.
I'm doing too much.
Todd Sheets, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Here, I know you want some applause, probably. So.
Oh, man.
I know this is cheesy, but whatever.
I don't need any of that.
Got to do the cheesy applause thing. I tell you something, and I've done a little research on you, and you know that's kind of creepy in itself.
It is, I'm sure.
Here you go.
But
let me bring it up.
You're an interesting guy. You've done a lot.
Yeah.
You started off at conception and move it on all the way up, and tell us about your life and how the hell did you get to here?
Well, I'm not going to start at conception because I don't want to know how that happened.
But most people,
so mom and dad were there.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. It probably happened at a drive-in, however, because it's kind of been with me my whole life, the whole drive-in thing.
Other talk shows, they say, well, tell us where you were born and all that. No, I want conception. I want
to know. You do. Well, I should come up with a great story of how they were watching, Candy Stripe Nurses or something. But the truth of the matter is, I was basically raised in a drive-in. Really, that was my first childhood memory was a double feature: The Boy Who Cried Werewolf with the movie. Remember that one with Dirk Benedict? He was in Battlestar Galactica.
Yes,
he like turned into a snake guy. And the last show of the night was Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
Because they were playing that even in the 80s. I mean, they just kept playing that.
Yeah.
But the thing with it is, The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, Kerwin Matthews, I recently saw it again, and I'm going, why do I love this movie now? It's my childhood first memory, that's why. I don't care, and werewolves are the best.
It was great.
It was. And so that was my first childhood memory, and I knew from that point on I was cursed. So here in Kansas City at the time, though, it was a different kind of vibe here, man. It wasn't so PC. The Bible Belt hadn't taken control. Tyler Perry wasn't in every theater, and we were much better off. We were able to have, and this is true. My friend Mike Middleton, as of now, even is going back through the library. He works at the library, and he's pulling old newspaper ads, sends them out.
Right.
And I'm going, man, back then, you would have movies like that playing all the time.
Yeah.
You would go to the drive-in, and you'd see like big budget movies, Towering Inferno, and this and that. Yeah. But you'd also have Candy Stripe Nurses at the same theater.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was like a wide variety, but kind of like when MTV started and it actually meant music instead of more on television.
Yeah.
Those days. Yeah. There was a variety of things. You'd see Madonna, Iron Maiden, Ozzy, then it'd jump over to Fresh Prince. You'd have every kind of music genre covered in an hour.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful. And that's kind of how it was here. And I grew up in that great environment, and I'm so happy to be a product of the 70s because I had Star Wars. Changed my life. I had these great memories as a kid. We could actually be kids back then. We could have wet newspaper fights and beat the hell out of each other. No one took us to
everybody's going to be okay.
No one took us to the lawyer.
The cops.
That's right.
And you can have your imagination. You could use it to actually
exactly
do something.
Exactly. Back then, man. No, I remember we split each other's heads open. No one went to the lawyer. No one. It was all about being kids and growing up and being.
I remember jumping off the roof a couple of times.
Oh yeah.
I didn't have to wear a helmet going outside. It was just like, well, there he goes again.
You know what? I did the same thing. I jumped off thinking I was Tarzan. I grabbed the Weeping Willow Tree. Let me tell you right now, Weeping Willow Tree does not hold you when you leap at it to do this Tarzan yell. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm gone. And next thing I know, I got a torn tendon. I'm at the damn doctor, and it was all over. But let me tell you something. It was a different age, and those were my first childhood memories, great memories, memories that I really feel bad about today's kids.
Generation don't get them.
Well, and my son, luckily I've kind of pushed on that with him. But the thing is, all of his friends are like, hey, let's hang out. I'm like, cool, where are you guys going? World of Warcraft. That's not hanging out, man. You're still at home. Get your butt out of the house.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, where can they hang out? They've closed everything cool down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't want them hanging out. I hung out, hanged out at, we had called T TG&Y. It was like a Walmart.
Hell
back
yes,
in the day.
Man. Hell
in
yes.
In the parking lot, we had a great ass time. Just yep. hanging out.
That's what it was. Sitting on your bikes, you know, doing crazy.
This is a bicycle. No, no. They actually move. They don't stay stationary.
And no, it's not just a Tony Hawk idea. It really yeah. is. It really exists. Yeah. And it was really interesting because it was like, you know, TGNY was a great place because I used to go there and get all my Mego figures, man. The action figures that we had when we were kids, you know, the cloth costumes. Mm-hmm. They had nice. The world's greatest superheroes. They had Star Trek, the Planet of the Apes. Remember all that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
That was cool stuff, though, man, because, again, these were toys you got out in the backyard and beat the hell out of. So if they exist today, that's why you go to eBay and a little Jawa from Star Wars cost you $2,000 because we beat the hell out of them. We ate them with a lawnmower. We don't know what the hell. What happened to my Jawa, Dad? I think I saw it flying south. Son. There goes the Toro.
Just dig up the backyard. I'm sure you'll find some stuff buried
that's
back
right,
in there.
You will because you buried them and forgot. It's like, oh, my God, that was what happened to the Millennium Falcon. I don't even understand what that thing was. No, but those were the days. You know, nowadays, oh, of course, yeah. you got the hoarders. They're taking the Star Wars toys and they're putting them at home and sticking them on eBay. And I'm mad. I had one guy I got in a fight with almost at Target because I wanted a little Batmobile Hot Wheels car for 99 cents. He's charging 20 bucks. I said, dude. I said, what the hell? He goes, I got 99 of them at home. I said, I'll beat
wow.
you to death.
Wow.
Drag you around the parking lot in a Batmobile.
Toys are no longer for playing with. They're to be put up on a shelf.
I know, yes, whatever, dude. You know, see, things were different back then. It was a different time. And I feel like an old codger, though, when I talk about this. My son laughs because I hated that. You know, I hated old people. In my day, but let's face it, in our day.
50 years ago, I used to do that.
But the thing is, when we're seeing that, it's really true.
Yep. Yeah.
We had some cool stuff. No yeah. one can forget the 70s. You had the Chevy vans with all the stuff. You had 15 chicks in the back naked. You're on the road. You had a damn, you had like the jacuzzi in there. You had like shag carpet flying.
It was the hotel room on wheels.
That's what it was. You see, the times were different. See, it really was the best of times. And people were free. It was a black art explosion during that time when you had, you know, Foxy Brown and you yeah. had Shaft.
Shaft.
And you had the Human Tornado and Disco Godfather, man. You had the stuff. This was when everyone was coming together. You had all the great Asian movies coming out.
Yep.
The Shaw Brothers stuff from China. And you had the first Japanese cinema coming over here with Akira Kurosawa. And all these things were sharing the multiplexes together. And people really were together. Well, there wasn't this deal there is today where everyone's like geared toward one thing. It's hip hop. It's this, but it's all geared toward one audience.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a cross cultural thing. This was the 70s. This
you
is when
see
it exploded.
Anything and everything.
That's right, and it was great. And so whenever the codgers are saying, "Well, back in my day," I'm going, "Hold on a minute. You didn't even know what you're talking about. You had a Model T. Shut up." You know, we were there when the internet was invented. Okay, I don't care what Al Gore says. We invented the internet. The hell with Al Gore. We invented the internet. We put a string out on a piece of friggin' on a can. And we're yelling back and forth.
Can
we
you hear me?
Yeah, we didn't care. We were trying anything. It was just the fact that, you know, when the internet was new, I remember getting on there and it was just like bulletin boards everywhere. You didn't even know what was going on. But you know what? We thought it was cool because we're out there like playing video games on bulletin boards where you're just reading what you're doing.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, old Commodore 64. Yeah. You're like, I'm playing this great movie, the horror movie game. Well, I don't see anything. No, it's just all typed.
Yep.
It was all in your imagination, which kind of works better in some ways.
It's the best game ever.
Yeah, my son's like, Dad, I've never seen graphics like this. I said, I have Commodore 64. He says, yeah, whatever. I said, no, because it was all in my mind.
And now, young kids don't even want to play in bands because they're playing
Rock
Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Hello.
Band, yep.
You know what's bad is I can play, I don't know, I could play probably about any instrument I try to play pretty much now. And I can't play Rock Band at all. And I think if you're a real guitar player, you're done.
That's right.
You're done because you can't play it because you're trying to actually play the song as you know it.
Yeah.
Like they have Iron Maiden on there. I'm like, all right, the Trooper, I know this.
Yeah.
Nope, not anymore. No, not anymore. Smoke on the Water, don't even try. It's not even close. That's like the easiest song in the world. My first song I learned, Smoke on the Water.
That's what everybody learns.
And that and, some of the Sabbath stuff like Iron Man. And then I got jaded and I'm like, oh, man, I need something better. But then I found Iron Maiden and the world changed again. I was into Kiss as a kid. I was into I was into Cheap Trick. See?
Cheap Trick,
And Alice Cooper, because Kiss at the time, they were the best there was time because they were like visual and they were also rocking. So you could go, I mean, this is like 1976, 1977. You know, they're bringing the house down everywhere. You know, this was before they went disco, and I don't know what the hell they were doing. But this was like, and then they went unmasked, and you're like, put the mask back on, please.
Yeah.
Gene, what the hell's wrong with your hair?
Oh, yeah, you need to put that.
Yeah, get
put
that
the
out
makeup
of here.
Back on.
I don't care what you do, just get a bag over your head. But the thing was, their shows were so amazing. So that's what there was, and I didn't know. Then I saw in this, it was really funny, one of those old magazines, like Circus Magazine or whatever, in the back they had a little ad with this monster on it, said, the next big thing in rock music. It wasn't even called metal at the time.
Right.
And they because of Iron Maiden, they came up with the term heavy metal because they the British press, of course, always called the bomb, the atomic bomb, the heavy metal.
Right.
And they said it's a bit. They went and saw Iron Maiden. They said it's a bit like the heavy metal going off, isn't it? So we thank Iron Maiden. No one realizes that band created the term. They didn't even mean to. Huh. And the weird thing was that first album came out. I didn't even play it for the first 3 months. I just got it because I love the cover.
Yeah,
stuck it up on my wall. It
was awesome covers.
I was like, there you go, man. And then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I'm gonna listen to this one day. I popped it on and because I saw Phantom of the Opera, I listened to that one. My life changed forever, man. So, my God, when I got done with it, I was just dumbfounded. And then they came to town. They played the Uptown with Def Leppard and Girl School and saw them there and I. My life was changed forever. So that was another milestone. See, so it started with the drive-in.
Yeah.
Then I went to Star Wars. Now then I hit Iron Maiden. So now you're seeing where it all connects. And then I decided.
There's still a path there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So first I wanted to be like a schlockmeister, like Roger Corman. I was going to come out and make the trashiest movies I could possibly make. Then I wanted to be like making kind of cool movies like Star Wars, and I got into the whole nerd thing. And all along this whole time, Batman was prevalent among everything because I grew up with Batman. He was like he was the hero. So all this was mixed in with that because everyone to this day is like, man, what's this deal with Batman? It's my whole life. And so then it came to Iron Maiden, and then I saw that, and I was like, no, this is music. I want to do this. I want to try this.
Yeah.
To this day, I still haven't reached that because no one can. You can't because they've kept getting better since then.
Yeah.
You can never – you finally learn to play Phantom of the Opera, which takes 10 years and because you're like, how did they do that one part? It doesn't say that on the sheet music. And you finally get there, and then you're like, wow, by then they've moved to a whole different era. So you can't even touch it.
Oh, man.
It's true.
Catch up again.
And, you know, and all along the way, you know, you see all these other things happening in the music scene and how that changed. And, of course, what really hurts is you don't – you know, this is a band that can sell out 7 nights in a row at Madison Square Garden, no joke. But – never gets a drop of airplay.
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating as hell because this country is really weird about that. And it's gotten worse now. Now you don't even have to be a musician. You just have to have a Macintosh.
Yeah.
And then now it's even worse because every time I hear a new hit single, the people aren't even singing. They're putting them through those filters where it sounds like they're robots or something. It's like their voices are being moved.
Yeah.
It's like, she can't hit a C to save her life. Yes, she can. Let me hit this little button right here on the Mac.
Britney Spears.
I'm like, oh, you know, Britney.
Miley Cyrus.
I was going to say, at least Britney can sing and Miley at least a little, but some of these others are worse.
What was
the hip-hop people trying to sing. Come on.
Lady
Gaga. Oh, God, don't do it to me, man. Don't do it.
I didn't even know who she was, like, till 6 months ago.
Well, no one
else. Grammys
and you won't know who she is 6 months from now. So there you go. It'll be someone else.
It'll be a blurb in the Where Did They Go Now VH1 special.
Let me ask you guys something. Now, when we were growing up, is it true or not? You know, bands would come out. They would get a record deal. And they had to work for it, and then they would tour these bands, and then they would cultivate these bands. Nowadays, the band's lucky to keep a 3-record deal because they kick them out after the first. They don't let anyone.
Well, they can make their little money, and then that's enough.
Well, I think it's because they don't have any creative juice either. It's like it takes them 10 years to write that first album, and then it's like forget it.
It's the same thing that happened to Buck Cherry.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a big producer deal. You know, they were going good, and then the second album came out, and they were like, "This is crap. Get rid of it."
They're gone.
They're gone. And then all of a sudden they have another hit single and they're like, oh, we want this band back. And they're like, no.
That's the whole thing you got to do is you got to – back then they used to cultivate talent.
Yeah.
And they used to get behind somebody and let them grow and let them build an audience. Nowadays they just want to make a quick buck and move on because there's someone else to step in the very next day.
Yep.
But still, that's why Iron Maiden's selling out 7 nights at Madison Square Garden. And people like – honestly, Lady Gaga – where's she gonna sell out? Now the funny thing is in Kansas City, Motley Crue can still sell out because it's Mulletville.
Yeah.
But
you probably could still sell out, you know, Lady Gaga might sell out for a day. But in most of America you go and they're like, who? In LA it's a rock and roll town. They don't Lady Gaga comes to town, they're like, yeah, okay, well we're gonna go see this band. They'll go see Cheap Trick. They'd rather
I thought that LA was a big hip hop town,
No, not at all. You know, that's what you would think. But the hip hop town is here. This St. Louis, Kansas City, the Midwest, this is where all the hip hop albums are sold.
God.
And they're sold to suburban white kids that have no idea what it's like to live this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then they all emulate their heroes.
I'm a gangbanger. Look
That's
at
right.
me.
They're all like emulating. They're like, oh, man, I'm going to pop a cap. Well, you know what? I tell you what. Let's take you down to 72nd and Troost and drop you off for about 3 hours. You'll never listen to hip-hop again.
I'll be right back. I promise.
I mean, my friends that are cops, they used to tell me, yeah, we just take a car down there and set it on the street because there was like a string of car robberies. They just set it on the street and go down around the corner and watch. They said about 4 minutes, man, 72nd Troost. Boom, car's going. They're busting them a block away. They're like, all right, there you go. Stole a car already.
Set it up again, boys.
That's right. Let's knock them down. And it's the weirdest thing, but you know what? That's... unfortunately, these kids are told that those are the heroes of our day. Yeah. And see, that's why I get frustrated, because I'm like, look, the heroes of our day are not hip-hop gangbangers.
No.
The heroes of our day are not guys talking about hoes and shooting cops. The heroes of our day are still Batman, but the problem is in our society we're not pushing that anymore because it's no longer cool. To be a nerd is a bad thing. Oh. When I was growing up, to be a nerd is cool, man. When we're at school, yeah, the jocks made fun of us, but you know what? I was still hanging out with my friends talking about Spock because that's what it was about.
Yeah.
And you know what? To this day, those guys are still my friends. Those guys have gone on to be like bigwigs. They're like Apple Computer now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what about the jocks? Where are they at? Slinging burgers.
We can tell you that.
Slinging burgers from all here.
All right. We'll be right back with more Up All Night with Mac and Travis.
Hi there.
Hello, this is Les Llewellyn, Road Rash Blues Show.
Hello, this is Mark Kirk, Road Rash Blues Show.
Hello, this is Terry Knoll, the Road Rash Blues Show.
Yes. Okay then, Eric. Let's get ready to rumble.
KCOR, Kansas City Online Radio.
Access granted.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard for Rad. Planning on going out and having a party? Great, have a lot of fun. But do me a big favor and don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives. You should too.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, you ready? The way I've said properly is...
The cockroach!
The cockroach.
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 The cockroach, man.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
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 Cockroach. Cockroach. Cockroach. Cockroach. Cockroach.
I had nothing to say. Stop bothering me.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The Internet's Talk Superstation.
Check us out online at myspace.com/roachradio.
I guess. Do I need to kick my leg and throw off my panties at the same time?
Up All Night Radio Show with Mac and Travis.
Back here Up All Night with Mac and Travis and our guest Todd Sheets here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Talking about a lot of stuff.
We are.
It's awesome.
We're going to get to more about his movies. We're going to talk about the paranormal and all that in the show.
Sweet.
But first, we want to invite you up to the website, MacandTravis.com. And you got to check out the Babe of the Week.
Oh, yes.
Now, see, this guy, I don't know if you're into racing at all, if you like much racing, but Danica Patrick, she's a female racer, and he hates her with a passion. She thinks she's a whore. And,
I don't want to go that far, the reason, I don't like her.
The reason you don't like her is because you're friends with Jennifer Cobb, who's in the truck series, and she's our Babe of the Week. So tell us about Jennifer Cobb.
Her name's Jennifer Jo Cobb, which is apparently after her dad. Her dad was Jo Cobb. And as a kid, we used to play together. Because
played
run around the tree, as you were saying, back in the day when you could actually run around the trees when it was raining and it's lightning everywhere and no one really cared. Yeah, we used to do that all the time. So
she's a tomboy. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. And let's see. Let me give some of her stats here.
No, you
see. This is according to her MySpace page. She's single. She's or straight,
aww,
which is unfortunate. Yeah. hometown, right here in Kansas City. And, see, she's Christian. She's a Gemini.
Of course, you should know all this, man. You're the one who said you hung out with her. Where the hell are you
been?
Yeah,
tell us her
shoe
size.
Like when is when I was like 8.
Yeah, but give us the good stories,
what's
man.
What's her shoe size?
Let's see.
It doesn't say that.
Let me look at her foot. We're just going with an 8.
We have a foot fetish crowd out here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with 8. As a stab in the dark, I have no clue. I don't know women's shoes.
You should have some juicy 8-year-old stories. I mean, when you're 8 years old, you don't have too many, though, do you?
Yeah,
no, 8 years, yeah. A little innocent then still.
You know what? I was, too. And I'd be like, yeah, I remember when she wore the honey buns that time as Princess Leia. Yeah.
It was awesome. That was the day I came into manhood.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, I remember her all the time, her and her dad and my mom and... We used to, my mom and them used to be his pit crew. her dad's pit crew.
Well, that's so cool. That's cool. Of course, in the, you're talking about the age of innocence for a lot of us. That we were still in that when we were 15.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. I was still the nerd when I was 15. I still had the Star Wars figures in here.
Oh, yeah. So nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So you're right. You don't really think about stuff like that. But that's great that you knew her then, and now she's, like, doing big things, man.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Getting bigger. Yep. Yeah. She's in the truck series now. She's actually going to run the full series this year.
But you said you probably won't get her on the show because she's pretty strong Christian, so she
yeah,
won't come on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, probably...
And what's up with that? See what happens? Man.
I don't mind you being religious, but okay, just don't
be
push it on me.
Be fun-loving.
Have some fun still. Gee.
There you go.
What's wrong with this show? I haven't seen you guys burning any crosses upside down or sacrificing virgins, but no, the night is young.
It's the second hour. We got a plan. That's what's in the closet.
Okay, good.
Open that up and the girl's skeletons will fall out.
I've seen it all. So it's okay.
All right, Jennifer Cobb there. There she is. And yay. She's got nice red hair, though. I'll give her that much.
Yes.
You want to do the Artist of the Week? Or
yes.
You want to talk more about Jennifer Cobb?
We can do Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week. Give us the details on Artist of the Week.
His name is Jim King, and he is actually with the Aunt Kizzy's band now, but this is a solo album he did back in 2007, and the name of the song we're going to play is Lonely Gray Mare.
And by the way, he's going to be in Kansas City at the Knuckleheads Thursday, April 15th, and down at Blues Down Under April 16th in Springfield.
Sweet.
Got some blues.
Yes, Mr. Jim King.
In the morning, put her to bed at night. Long gray mare, don't I feed you every day? Long gray mare, don't I feed you every day? But when I'm digging with my spurs, baby, you turn around the other way. Turn around the other way.
All right, Jim King there from Aunt Kizzy's Boys, one of our favorite bands that we play a lot here on the
show. Oh, yes.
On the show.
Jamming, man. Jamming.
See, all right.
Even the guests like some music.
Real music again. I don't know what to do.
Let's move on. We got so much to talk about. Our guest, of course, is Todd Sheets, and... his website is nightwatchradio.com.
By the way, awesome ass photo. I love your website.
Well, thank you.
I went there. I was like, dude, this is cool. These are awesome pictures.
Yeah, I got a weird stuff, let me tell you. I do all the graphics, and yeah, I'm nuts.
That's good.
Cool.
I liked it. It looked very nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And that's kind of my new labor of love is the Night Watch show for the last
excellent.
7 years.
And it's on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Central Time. And awesome. And we're going to get into the paranormal stuff here shortly. We got so much to get to tonight. But I did want to get back into the movies and how you got into the movies. We
left off with Iron Man.
We left off with Iron Man.
You're the one who told me to start at the conception. Jesus, man. We're going to be here until tomorrow.
We started too early. And we wanted more details on the conception, but we'll not go there now. Something about a VW microbus.
That's, something cool. Shag.
So the movies now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I see all the kind of mix with the music and sci-fi and all
up,
working it, and then getting all together in a big stir pot inside of you, and that's where you come up with movies.
Well, the movie thing was basically the drive-in stuff. You know, we all had our times, especially back then. There were times when things were kind of rough. You know, we had a lot going on in the world at that time, and, you know, for me, going down to the cinema, you know, you'd have a crap week at school. You know, that teacher that you just hated to rap you on the head because back then they could do that.
Yeah.
You'd have the, you'd get the ring on the forehead. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. You'd have a crap week. And really, you just got to the point where you're like, you know, I need a break. So my break was going down and watching the stuff that was escaping at the theaters, man. And, you know, we had theaters at the time, like I said, that played everything. And so I can remember seeing them all, you know, Phantasm and Slithus and The Dorm That Dripped Blood. You name it, I saw it. Man, I would go to what I call the indoor drive-in, which is the Empire Theater at the time. And it had the sleaziest of the sleaze, and that was the greatest time of all. And as a kid, you know, we're right across from the Magic Touch Massage, so in between movies, our other entertainment was going out and harassing the massage girls that would be running up and down the street. Because, you know, there's always some guy that wouldn't pay, and they're chasing them. And, yeah, they're, and they're like half naked, and so you're laughing, and your boob's falling out. So yeah, we were making fun. It was like a whole thing though, and that's you know, I call it the grindhouse. That's the term now. Back then we just called it the indoor drive-in because they played the same movies the drive-in played. And that kind of the thing was when I got older, I started making my own Super 8 films. You know, my dad would go out and buy stuff for family gatherings, right? We had a Super 8 camera. He went out and spent, because my dad was he loved techno stuff. He's a techno nerd. Oh, I got the latest camera. He was the first one to have a
Look
Beta
this gadget.
Cam.
It's awesome.
Like, remember Betacam? We had the first one on the block. Yeah, but, well, he was nice. He goes, yeah, we got this camera. I'm going to go out and film 4th of July. So he bought a whole sack full of film. Well, when it came for time for the 4th of July, he's like, where's all my film? I'd been filming a Frankenstein epic.
Nice. I don't know. Where did all your film go?
I decided I was getting this. I saw this Frankenstein mask at TGNY, of all places. And I took it, and I just had a great time with my friends making a Frankenstein movie. And my dad was furious at first. Then he went and got it all developed for me, which was pretty cool. And seeing what I'd done, God, it was awful, but it was cool because, hey, that was us. You know,
yeah,
we did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started thinking, you know, I wanted to really get into it so I could give that back. I wanted other kids who are having a bad day or a bad week to watch some of this trash that I was making and maybe have a good time too. Because let's be honest, I'm not trying to make Academy Award stuff. To this day, I'm not. If someone would bring me $1.5 million, I'd break it down into three movies and each one would be the crappiest, sleaziest thing I could think of. Not because of the fact that, you know, I just want to make trash, but even as I grew as a filmmaker, like at first I made some pretty bad trash because you didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I started taking film workshops. I worked on some movies as an intern. I did some stuff with cool people like Jared Bookwalter and people who worked with Romero, and I got my start and I started doing internships and I started learning how to make a movie.
Right.
Here in Kansas City, it was very difficult though, because the first movies I made, I still haven't lived down. There's still some jerks out there in the IFC who say, that Todd Sheets can't make a movie. When was the last one you saw? 1990? Well, I think you're stuck in a time loop here, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, if I haven't grown by now, I might as well go back in time and just kick my own ass. Yeah. But no, the truth is, you know, we do grow as filmmakers. And I've gotten, you know, I've won awards. I've won lots of awards now. We've done some pretty big stuff worldwide. My films have shown all over the world in film festivals. Italy was one, and Japan went nuts. I wish I could have gone. I got invited. I just couldn't afford it. But the thing was, you know what? You grow. But no matter how far I grow, my heart still is at the drive-in, and I still want to make, you know, like someone was saying, Quentin Tarantino can do anything he wants. Why did you make that grindhouse thing? Because it was fun. That's why.
Yeah.
Because it was returning to your roots, and that's what made you care in the first place.
Right.
You know, when I was sitting there watching movies like The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, that's god awful, and movies like Phantasm, which is, you know, now considered a classic, the original Evil Dead, when it came out, no one liked that movie. It was a crazy 16 millimeter college film that now is considered a classic.
Yep.
But you know what? I saw it at the theater. I loved it. I lived
saw it on the big screen.
The Pieces, you know that movie Pieces, you don't have to go to Texas for a chainsaw massacre. I was there. I was front and center. All the Italian schlock trashy movies like Night of the Zombies, Dr. Butcher, MD. I was there. And that's what I fell in love with, and that's why I started making movies, is because I wanted to do some of that myself. So when someone says, man, that movie is good, I don't know what you're expecting it to be. You know, when you're in a movie, and we were talking about this earlier, when you're in a movie that's, you know, you're in a scene with, like, someone giving birth to a 9-year-old girl that's supposed to be the Antichrist, and there's guts wrapped around her head, what do you think you're making? Do you actually believe that someone's
going to... Did the light go off and go, ding?
I know. Did you kind of look at this and go, man, I'm in this really cool scene. I'm going to be an Academy Award-winning actress. What are you thinking?
The Oscar is mine.
It's because that's the kind of movies I love. That's the kind of movies I make. And to this day, that's the kind of stuff I love.
I still think those are some of the best movies out there. Me and him both will sit there, we'll watch some of the most craptastic movies ever and be like, that was awesome.
Like you said, the Up All Night namesake, man. Yep, that's why.
I haven't seen any movies here lately in the last 10 years. New, you know, mainstream movies. Because I don't know Titanic. Get out of here with that ugly shit.
The boat sinks,
but
people die.
But I did watch The Cannibal Women of the Avocado Forest of Death, and I loved the hell out of it.
Well, that's the thing. And, well, you know, if you watch Planet Terror, you know, part of the Grindhouse, yeah. that's been in the last 10 years. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
But why is it great? Because it's made by people who love the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
It's made by people who aren't pretentious. And I'll be honest, if you're offended easily, you better move on. Because yeah. I don't my idea of PC is I didn't kill the baby, but I killed the whole rest of the family. So that's, you know.
What? The baby lived?
Yeah,
come
the baby's
on.
Okay. The baby has to live so it can grow up and get revenge in the sequel. Come
that's
on.
Right. Gotta leave the door open.
It's kind of like I always said, you know, you have the serial killer like Jason come in, wipe out the entire family in the most heinous ways possible, blood showers everywhere, the whole house is stained red, but on the way out he pets the dog.
Yeah.
That's a movie.
Why did he pet the dog?
That has a nice ending story there too. A touching moment.
That's right. It ends in a,
well, at least he's a dog lover.
And then in the next movie, you know, the sequel, the dog is with him, and then, you know, they're like together.
So do you write the movies too, or do you have somebody else?
I write a lot, the majority of them, but I also work with writers out there, and I you know, a lot of cool people, and I work with a lot of neat people in the business now, a lot of people who are, you know, into the same stuff I am. You know, I mentioned earlier Sage Stallone, and really good friends with Sid Haig, and I'm working on a project now putting together with Sid and 42nd Street Pete. Now, Sid Haig, if people aren't sure who he is, House of a Thousand Corpses, which was a pretty cool little movie.
Yeah. Little movie. Little movie I heard of.
Yeah, he played Captain Spaulding, the clown, in that movie. And he was also, years past, he played in everything from Jason of Star Command, where he was the bad guy. Remember that show when we were growing up? To, he played in all those Pam Grier movies, the women in prison flicks, like Big Bird Cage. He was always the heavy. If you ever saw Galaxy of Terror, where little Joni got her head blown off, remember that?
Yeah.
Galaxy of Terror. And that's one of my favorite things. Everyone's like, Joni loves Chachi. Yeah, Joni loves aliens, and her head blew off. Come on. I would love that movie. But he was in that movie, played the guy with the, you know, the, and the funny thing is when you hear him talk about it, he's like, yeah, Todd, I love that script so much that I told him I'm not doing any of these lines. My character's suddenly mute. Any minute, he said, I did one line in the whole movie, and he did, because he just was like too cool to talk. But the truth of the matter was, the script was so horrible. He's like, I'm not saying these lines. I'm a good actor, but I'm not that good.
I can't deliver these lines in the tone that you want them to be delivered in.
Right, but again, it's like those are the kind of people I know. Those are my friends, Sage Stallone, those guys. You know, Buddy Giovanni. Yeah, I can't say his name. Giovinazzo and. All the guys who worked on things like the Helter Skelter movie that they just did a little bit ago. I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's pretty good.
The Manson
good.
Family. Yeah, it was a good one. Jim Van Bever. I'm good friends with those guys. All those guys are friends. 42nd Street Pete. Then you got Johnny Legend and Eric Caden from Hollywood Book and Poster, and that whole gang. Quentin Tarantino's involved with all those guys, and it's just a big family out there in L.A., the New Beverly Cinema. And that's where I consider my home now, pretty much. You know, I love Kansas City in some ways. I hate Kansas City in others.
Yeah.
But I still live in Kansas City, but I feel more at home in L.A. with those guys at New Beverly, because that's my crowd.
I know there's a big genre. A big audience for that genre, but Kansas City, like you
not
said,
not at all anymore.
There's not much genre for anything here. I don't
Tyler
know
Perry,
yeah,
my God. He's got his own section at Walmart.
Yeah,
you bastard.
I'll give you this just for that. So.
I'll tell you a new movie though for everyone to check out. Just came out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's called Black Dynamite. And if you love the movies of the 70s,
oh, is that the kind of Shaft? Look,
oh, yeah.
I've seen the previews for that. I was like, dude. I gotta watch that movie.
I was all over it, dude. I was all over it.
So it's out now.
Oh yeah, I had to rush to Walmart at midnight just to make sure I got the first copy because it was like, yeah, that's the movie right there.
I seen the trailers for. I can't remember what I was watching, but I seen the trailers. It was like, dude, that looks like a kick ass movie.
It really is. It's because they're not making fun of. They're paying tribute.
Right.
Too, because they all grew up with those movies too, and I love that stuff. And it's neat that it's coming back around.
It is.
The people like me are nerds, and we're out there saying, you know what, we're tired of watching this dreck. You know, we're tired of watching the Princess Frog thing, whatever. I'm ready to move on.
There's only so many times the Titanic can sink.
But you know, the thing about Titanic, as a filmmaker, I have utmost respect, because that movie, on a technical level, is pristine. As a matter of fact, it kicks the hell out of Avatar to me. That movie, Avatar's fine, but Avatar's pretty to look at. It's beautiful, but it has no script.
Right.
And I was actually kind of bored. I was sitting there thinking, do I need to see this guy get in and out of this machine another time? I mean, because every time he gets in the machine, they have to put on the electrodes. I'm like, 5 minutes, dudes, 5 minutes. On and on and on and on. And so, and you're thinking to yourself, does this movie have to be 3 hours long? You know, after
can they cut this out? Can they cut that out?
It could have been streamlined. To me, Cameron, Titanic was the one, because that movie in every way, shape, and form is a perfect film, except Leonardo, who almost drowns it. If you he's a little cardboard back then. Now Leonardo's gotten to be a pretty good actor now, but back then he was kind of like cardboard, you know. He wasn't Kate Winslet was in there, and of course Billy Zane, and they're so good, and you know the unsinkable Molly Brown, you know, Kathy Bates is in there, and the thing is these actors are amazing, so it made Leonardo look kind of bad.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point though where Titanic, to me, you know, the hype made me mad, but the movie itself I think deserves everything it's ever got because it was an achievement. They went to
the great lengths.
It all comes to Lucas because they went to Lucas and said, hey, help us make a great movie. And he did.
Again. Hey, we'll be right back for more Up All Night with Matt Chen.
I don't get it. Why aren't people buying our tennis balls?
You got me.
I mean, they're fuzzy, they're yellow, they're bouncy.
Oh, well, no doubt about it. We have the bounciest balls in the business.
If people knew how bouncy our balls
are, they would be bouncing on tennis courts from North Carolina to California.
Instead, they buy our competitors' clearly inferior balls.
Yeah, smack their balls a few hundred times and the fuzz falls right off.
And soon their balls are totally bald and barely bouncy at all.
What do we need to do to get people to try our tennis balls?
We've got to get the word out.
Word out. Hey, maybe we should advertise.
Now, that costs money, and we don't have much money.
So, yeah, I don't want to advertise until we have more money.
Which we'll get when we sell more balls and make
some
profit. So we don't need to advertise. We just need to wait.
For what?
For profits.
You're absolutely right.
Sometimes I'm so brilliant I actually scare myself.
Yeah, gave me goosebumps.
Can I see one?
Oh, look.
While you're waiting, your competitors aren't. They know something you don't know. It's called advertising, and it works. So get on the ball. This message brought to you by this station, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and produced by the famous Radio Ranch, The Cockroach.
I say too many bad words. We have a damn right to say whatever the we want.
Minor detail.
And we're gonna say it.
Saturdays at noon.
You're a piece of if you're that easily offended.
Listener discretion is advised.
I can't do this.
No, just keep going, please.
No.
It's going good.
You're an asshole.
Hello, blues lovers. This is a list of just a few of the blues artists I've interviewed right here on KCOR.
Debbie Davies,
Tommy Castro,
Lizzie Compton,
Mark Hughes, Mark.
Mac Arnold,
Sandy Mack,
Larry McCrae,
Francis McCormick,
Lori Morvan,
Sean Chambers,
Kinsley Ellis,
Joe Louis Walker,
Mike Zito,
Jimmy Dawkins,
Zell Cooper,
Anna Popovich.
Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, USA Time, A1Blues.com. Check it out.
Steve Geiger,
Joanne Show Tyler,
Candy Kane,
Nick Moss, Jody Curtis.
KCOR. Kansas City Online Radio.
Back here up all night.
I hate both these idiots.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is a sleazebag, and one of them's a douchebag.
It's the Up All Night Radio Show with Matt.
I was just trying to talk to him. I was listening to him, and then I just hit the button, and I didn't. I'm sorry. Whatever. Leave me alone. Welcome back to the Up All Night Radio Show. We have Todd Sheets here, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff. We're moving on. We started out at conception. Now we're going to move into his radio show real quick, and then we're going to get to the topics of the paranormal.
Poor guy.
How did you get into the radio show? I mean, what possessed you to do that?
Well,
I like that word, possessed.
Possessed is about right.
That's a joke.
Being in a band, I was in Jedi Superstar, which is the name of the band, and we were on a local radio show a couple of times, KC Jukebox, and the producer of the show was starting a network, and they were looking to add some shows. So we were throwing around ideas for shows, and he asked me, can you do a show? Of course, I said, yeah, but then I said no, you know, and I'd been kind of a semi-pen pal with Art Bell, and I was working on a script at the time, and Art said, you need to do this, and I kept saying no. Finally, Art's like, you don't know if you don't try, and I was like, yeah, but you're the master. No one can be Art Bell. But Art wasn't doing radio much at the time. That's about the time he was kind of pushing out. And George was coming in, George Norrie, and I still loved the show, but it wasn't the same without Art.
Oh, no.
And Art said, you know, he said, give it a try, man. I said, well, I'm going to be copying everything you did because you're the guy.
You're the man.
You're the only guy I knew that could do it. And so I kind of went into it with a little bit of the attitude of Art, you know, and added a little bit of my own thing, like we were talking about, the up all night kind of thing, the all night live thing with Uncle Ed here in Kansas City. And, you know, adding a little bit of my own personality. And I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never done it before. And for some reason, it took off. And I don't know. I'm thankful. I don't know why or how, but man, who am I to look a gift horse in the mouth? I'm really thankful.
Yeah.
And you know what? The show's grown and grown, and 328 stations worldwide doing the BBC thing. We're doing overnights in Australia, Sydney, and Melbourne. We're number one overnights on the weekends.
Cool.
It happened, and you don't want to know how they got the people to listen originally? In Sydney and Melbourne, they went to the clubs, the nightclubs and the strip clubs and all that stuff, and they put up big banners saying, if you'd like to do it in the night, listen to Nightwatch.
That's awesome.
And here I am, like, red in the face. I'm going, what are you talking about?
The show's not really about sex.
No, but you know what? It got people in the door, and everyone likes to hear a good ghost story. And we start having, and the motto of the show is things that go bump in the night. So anything that kind of falls in that category, and I can make anything fall in that category.
Yeah.
But it's basically whatever I like, and that's what's on there. And so it started out that way, and it rolled and rolled, and man, I don't know. I'm thankful because now it's really doing good, and cool. I got a really good group of people involved, and some great staff members. The guests are really what makes the show.
Yeah.
As you guys know, your guests are important, and if it wasn't for the people listening or the guests, I wouldn't be doing it. So it's my show only because I'm the host, but it's really their show. It's really the guest show. It's really the listener's show. It's all about.
And do you take it from the listeners as your guests, or do you just pick out guests that interest you? How do you pick out the guests?
Well, it started out kind of like people didn't want to talk about the paranormal back then.
Right.
It wasn't a popular item like it is now.
Right.
I would have to go and dig out people that would actually have enough balls to go on the radio and talk about it, because especially anywhere in the Midwest, because it's still taboo.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, very much
scary.
So.
But you know, like then the Ghost Hunters came out, and I remember they just did a little trial. They weren't even sure they were going to have a full season. They did some pilot episodes, and I got in touch with those guys. And the first time I met them, I went over to St. Louis. And it was at a big Roto-Rooter convention thing, this big whole homemaker thing. And they worked for Roto-Rooter, you know.
Right. And they still show it on the truck, on the van every day.
They are manning the booth, right?
Yeah.
And I go in there, and I'm walking around looking for them. And I'm like, I can't find them. I can't find the Roto-Rooter booth. And I'm looking and looking, and all of a sudden, I go around a corner. I get sprayed, and I hear this fart sound. I look down, there's a toilet full of Tootsie Rolls. And then the laughter starts, and then Jason steps out, and they're practical jokers like that. And that's when I first met them, and we sat down and had a conversation, and we ended up hanging out for a bit, and we hit it off. We became friends, and they really helped me, brought them on the show, and I helped promote their thing, and they helped promote me. They brought me under the wing, and suddenly I was legitimized in the eyes of the elite of the paranormal community at that time, because it was a very small group then. There was like maybe 10 people that were considered the elite. Jason and Grant knew them all, and because of their acceptance of me and their friendship, and I never would use that either. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
They went to people and said, hey, you need to call Todd, because I never said, hey, guys, give me a list. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
It's not about using people, and I was so happy that people would come to me, and then it started growing and growing and growing, and now I'm getting 30 letters a week. Hey, I want to be on the show. I want to be on the show. So I'm sending them to the producer, Julie, and she's going, what are you thinking? I got the show booked for 3 years. Get out of here. And I'm like, well, yeah, but this guy here, he's a guy that thinks he's a werewolf. He really does. You got to talk to him. He told me he was going to eat his neighbor. Get him on the show.
I told you before, I listened to that show, and I was like,
really?
Come on, dude. Just put a camera in there.
I know.
Video yourself.
And that's my first question. And the thing is also, I'm throwing rings. I'll get that later. Also, you have to realize that as a host, you have to be respectful of everything.
Yeah. Right.
And in this field, it's sometimes difficult. But here's my belief. I wasn't there. I didn't make this universe. So who am I to say what's right and wrong?
Right.
Yeah. Every day that I try, because we got to be open-minded. Think of all the things that we're experiencing now.
Oh, yeah.
And we never believed that it would be possible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we never believed that, I've seen things that I can't explain. I've heard children laughing at the St. Augustine Lighthouse at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's no children there.
Right.
How the hell can I explain that?
Exactly.
I've had black figures walk up to me 3 feet in front of my face, look like they were waving like a fish tank, like water in a fish tank with fuzz inside of them. How can I explain it? It's not my eyes matrix. I thought of that.
Yeah.
But then it got weirder when they started like splitting off and the weird things. I saw this stuff. I've had doors open and close at the Villisca Axe Murder House. I've been chased out of there with a flashing. If people don't, you can find it out there. Look up Villisca Axe Murder House Ball, and you'll see this video on YouTube we did. This thing is following us all around. It literally, it's one of those balls you throw on the ground, and you bounce it real hard, and it lights up and flashes from the dollar store. We had one of those balls there. That sucker, no one threw it. It lit up on its own. Now, how the hell is that going to happen? And it started chasing us around the room. Wow. I got out of there. I was out in the street.
I'm done.
I was looking for the Jack in the Box. I'm like, I'm done here.
You like Jack in the Box?
That's my favorite.
Oh, we're good, man.
Everywhere I go, it's like I find a Jack.
I had it down as White Castle. I'm sorry. I fucked up.
Oh, yeah. No, why?
I remember it was one of
Jack in the Box. Dude, when I'm in L.A., I stay at this hotel that has a Jack in the Box right in the parking lot. Oh, I was there so much, I got a name tag. I got hats. You know what? I love Jack in the Box to the point where it's bad. I mean,
I'm the same way. It's awesome. Man.
Good food, though. It's really good.
See, I didn't find out the whole story of my Jack in the Box is I was getting ready to go to Hawaii because I was in the Army.
Right.
And that was the time that in Seattle that big food E. coli scare came out with them and got over to Hawaii and there was a Jack in the Box. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this place. I tried it. I was like, I'm hooked. I'm done. This is where I'm going all the time.
One of these days, I'll tell you that E. coli story. I talked to someone who's very high up in the organization and I found out, you know, at that time, there was a little company called PepsiCo and they wanted a little slice of the market for a little restaurant called Taco Bell, which as of this point is the number one offender of food poisoning in the United States of America.
Wow.
So there was a lot of stories planted in the media that were paid for, and next thing I know, Jack in the Box stores are closing, and those same locations are being taken over by what? Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that's corporate espionage. Right? Oh, yeah. True stories, though, because you know what? Right now, Jack in the Box is the number one in many cities for health. For the way they handle their restaurants, for you know when you go through health shows, cleanliness, they get number one ratings. Also number one for food quality. You'd be surprised. It's a really really neat restaurant.
Tony, Jack in the Box is the shit.
It is. The shiz knackle.
Crazy people.
And now you know why I see ghosts. I eat Jack in the Box.
Right. It's 3:00 in the morning. I need a Western burger.
Stat. We were talking about, and it was interesting. You talk about sometimes you get a guest on, and yeah, you got to keep an open mind, but sometimes you got to go, wow, this guy's really off the wall. You had a guest on a while back. I was listening. I didn't catch a whole show, but it was this chick, and she was talking about drinking blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, relay some of that to us, because I can't remember what it was, but I've heard that, and I went, yeah. Don't drink blood.
Well, there's a group of people who are vampires. They call themselves real vampires. And what it is there's it's almost like anemia. You know, it's a blood deal where they have to medically have blood transfusions or whatever. And some of them prefer to do it orally.
Oh,
and,
wow. I didn't know it could soak in that way, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a really bizarre thing. And I don't know. I don't fully understand it either, but I have respect for the fact that, hey, if this is a medical thing and there's really something going on.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. So.
Now, do I think it's cool to, like, necessarily put the chomp on Susie Nick's door? No. But, at the same time, you know what? They were cool as hell to talk to. They were legitimate, cool people, intelligent people. And you know what's really weird about the vampire group I found out?
What's that?
You'd be surprised that it's probably someone working next to you at Kinko's, and at night they're not.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You don't know who they are because they're not out there doing the goth thing. They're not walking around with.
They're not announcing it to everybody.
Right. I mean that's a whole different. That's the Twilight crowd, and we won't even talk about those glittery bastards.
Jesus.
So yeah, so it comes down to the thing where you know that's an actual affliction. And then I've had people on the show. I mean, I'm sitting across from someone one time, she's a very cool person. I really like her. But the first time I met her, it was like my third show ever. And she's telling me about, well, I'm sitting in my breakfast nook and a big portal opens up and Bigfoot walks through. I about fell off the chair. I literally went,
really?
And then my producer's literally stabbing himself in the leg in the corner with a number two pencil not to laugh because he doesn't believe in any of this stuff.
Right.
And I actually am open-minded enough to say it could happen.
I wasn't there.
Maybe your breakfast nook is on the seventh level of hell. I'm not sure. But then she started telling me, yeah, UFOs were coming through a hole and it was coming in there. You know what? The stories got crazier and crazier, but I'll tell you, she's a nice lady. And I don't see any reason to disrespect her.
No.
Because I personally go, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
Step back. You were eating, you had a hunk of toast halfway in your mouth, and Bigfoot came out and said, hey, let go of my ego. This doesn't,
What kind of jam you got on that bread?
Yeah,
dude?
One of my favorite things to do in this world is just the people I know and run across. And, you know, they'll make fun of paranormal stuff and all that out with the group. You know, But you get them alone and you ask them, have you seen anything? Have you witnessed anything? And then they start relaying these stories. Everybody's got a story.
Oh, yeah.
That's something really
weird, yeah.
One guy told me, he was a truck driver, and he stopped somewhere to go at the bathroom, and he looked out in the field, and right out in the field, and I can remember how he said it was, there was like five or six Bigfoot out there, and one of them was taking a dump. And I'm going, what? That's what he saw. And I mean, he relayed every detail of this, the Bigfoot going to the bathroom. Well, I guess Bigfoot has to go to the bathroom sometime.
But at the same time, you're in your mind, you're kind of, that's where you start going, okay, and he had been driving on the road for how many hours? He'd ate at how many restaurants that he shouldn't have been to that night?
Went to Jack in the Box.
That's right. He'd been over at Trucker Joe's, that restaurant where they serve peyote, I think. And, you know, you start kind of, because it, as a normal human being, you do that. But at the same time, as a radio show host and as a person who's really trying to explore something out here, you have to open that mind and say, all right, the skeptical side of me is going to laugh.
Right.
But there is something said, and especially whenever you got a lot of people from different parts of the country who've never met each other but tell you the same story about a place that they've been to.
When we get to the UFO talk in the next segment, I got some stories to relate to you. Exactly that, where you have the same story, not only in a different part of the country, but 10 years separate each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll find that. And, you'll lose time and everything else. Yeah. People have been through it. I've had some really good friends that are abductees that have been on the show, and we became really good friends, and I believe them completely. Right, I've been around when things happened, and I went, well, and when I try to interview her, every time I have her on the show, something weird happens. I start getting interference. And then one night we had a Men in Black show, right? This was over during Casey Host days. Everything went down. Our affiliate called, a satellite went down. Everything just shut off. Now, how could their stuff go down the exact same time as our stuff, just like an EMF, purge?
Boop.
Oh, yeah. We had that with Journeys with Rebecca. Every time she had somebody on there talking about government conspiracies or the Illuminati,
something weird,
something would go wrong.
Oh, you talk about someone weird. I got Leo Zagami, who's in Rome, who's part of the Illuminati. He was just put in religious prison at the Vatican for a few days because he was talking too much on the show. But he's the real deal, and that's pretty scary, you know. But I didn't get shut down for that because nowadays, I mean, like, what are you going to do? But back then, man, it was like, wow. I mean, now every time you turn on the Discovery Channel, someone's talking about it.
Back then,
they weren't, and it was really strange.
It's
really
out there, and everybody
you'd hear, like, noises, and people are talking. You'd hear, like, it sounded like a walkie-talkie's cutting through the line.
Yeah.
And, like, people were cutting in and out, and then all of a sudden you'd hear voices, like a whole bunch of people talking in static. And I was like, Audrey, what the hell? And her interview, I couldn't even put up for the archives. I'm like digging for archives.
And that's what I used to do, was an engineer, electronic engineer. Well, you can see the signal. Back on the old analog phone, you could see the signal drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On the meter there.
And you can do that now with our sound stuff. You know, our
editing.
Know
somebody's, they clicked in and they're listening.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, we always said that they were our only listeners of the NSA.
The NSA and the FCC, and not FCC, the
CIA
and FBI were, that's our big listeners.
That's right. Well, we glad to have you guys.
We got one listener. She works for the federal government. She's in the chat box maybe right now. And we always say she's a big, you know, time NSA agent just listening to us.
Why
would you want to care? Likes Dick's joke like everybody else. So.
That's right.
Joking Uranus jokes.
Uranus jokes.
Uranus.
But we all want to get to the UFO stuff. We got a couple minutes, but I want to get the UFO stuff coming up and all kinds of stuff.
We're going to talk about some. You know, the thing is about the paranormal, though, that once you enter that doorway, you know, you could just be a casual, because as a kid, because of my horror movies, I'd always read that stuff in the library when you're a kid. You know, your grade school, werewolf books, Bigfoot books, you know, UFO books, Nessie. I read all that
stuff.
I grew up with all that stuff, and so I had an interest in it from that side.
Yeah.
I never knew that I would be hanging with so many great people, and I still don't consider myself good enough to call myself an investigator, even though everyone else says I'm an investigator, but I consider myself lucky to know so many great people in the field that I can go out and they'd take me to all these locations. I've been pretty much to every haunted location. That's my co-host over here. You guys are co-hosts, and I'm not a co-host. That's my co-guest. My co-guest is Barney the Wonder Dog, and I'm excited.
Winnie the head of security.
That's right.
Keeps the NSA away.
That's right. And right now, I think he's barking because he hears the black helicopters circling.
Probably so.
Because you announced we're going to talk about aliens. You're supposed to just sneak it in under the radar.
Okay.
Once you announce it, they're ready for you now.
And I got some EVP work that I've done. I want you to hear.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear that.
And reverse speech, because I'm a reverse speech freak.
That's cool stuff, isn't it?
And I could tell you some stories where reverse speech is just hit right on the nail.
Oh, it does.
It's just scary.
Gets under your skin. Creeps you out.
Yeah. Like, what are they saying? Hey, we'll be right back more up all night with Maggie Travis.
is Mark Kerr. If you're ready for the Blues Rock Experience, then I invite you to join me each and every Saturday evening from 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time for Mark Kerr's Blues Nation, right here at the home of Blues Rock and Cool Talk, KCOR.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
My mind! Where is it? It's gone!
This is The Cockroach.
The Internet's talk superstation.
Most talk radio is bullshit.
It's all over the Internet.
I mean, really, aren't you people tired of listening to political crap yet?
This is madness.
We like to dress up as stuffed animals and have sex with each other.
What the deuce is going on?
The Internet's talk superstation.
The Cockroach.
MySpace.com/RoachRadio.
You know, Mac, if you can't stop staring at my tits, I'm going to quit. It's Mac and Travis on the Up All Night radio show.
Don't want you to worry
baby. I know we can make everything all right. Oh, listen to my plea, woman. Bring it on home to me. Because I need your love so bad.
All right, old Jimmy King there.
Yeah, that was, hold on, let me find it. I just looked at it. Need your love so bad.
Wow, don't tell me, don't look at me when you say that.
I need your love so bad.
We were just talking about things. Like
I know, I know, we don't want to go there.
Let's back out of this one.
Don't say back out of it either.
They're everywhere, they're everywhere.
We're here with Todd Sheets, and we're having a great conversation, I think. You got a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Website is www.nightwatchradio.com. Tune him in Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Central U.S. time. And
I go to the archives and listen to them there.
Yes, the archives.
That's what that's
lots of archives. Yeah,
that's
go check them out. Man.
And just because you mentioned some of your archives, and I was scrolling through them and looking through them, I seen that you had astronaut Edgar Mitchell on.
Yep.
How was that show?
Dude, that was great. You know what? Every single guest, I had Elvira on. You know what? I could barely talk.
Hold on.
Wow.
I gotta give him a big round.
That's our chick.
Yeah.
She's.
Sorry, I know that's lame, but 52? I got to do that.
52? Is that how old she is now, 52?
I couldn't tell you, but I'll tell you this. She's a sweetheart, and any time I run into her out there, you know, I do consider her a friend now, and we do help each other out a lot promotion-wise. And, man, she is an incredible lady, and I mean that in every sense of the word. I mean, really, she's a very giving individual. She's not a money grubber. She did my show when I first started, and she did it again recently, and she did it because she loves helping people out, you know.
That's cool.
Met her at a convention, hooked up, became friends, and that's how it works out. And that's a lot of people in the business in that horror movie side are that way.
Really?
Everybody is like, it's like a big family.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much anyone you meet, Reggie Bannister, who was in Phantasm, you know, he's the guy with the ponytail.
Right.
You know, he's an amazing blues musician. I need to send you some of his stuff.
Okay.
Because he is the dude, and he's... Steven Seagal's the same way, great blues musician. But the thing is,
I didn't know he played blues.
Oh yeah, and these people, they're on the other side. There's no ego. They're down to earth. They're good people, and they just, you know, if you help them, they help you. And if they see you're sincere, there's so many jerks out there trying to sell their crap on eBay. But if they see you're sincere, man, you develop a friendship, and it's a mutual trust that goes on out there. And in the paranormal community, talking about that, you have to have mutual trust with anyone that you're spending the night with in these locations.
Right.
You got to trust the people you're in there with. You fall down a hole, you need someone to pull you out.
I don't really know this guy. We're out of here.
That's right.
We got this ball chasing us around the room. We're out.
Whoever that guy is, he's on his own.
I don't have to be faster than all of you. I just have to be faster than one of you.
That's right.
So moving away from ghosts just for a second.
Okay.
I want to get in the UFO thing.
All right.
This is cool.
And abductions. What's your opinion on UFOs?
You know? Here's what I think. I think anyone who actually, and this goes back to my attack, not really attack, but my want to slap a Baptist in the face day, which is every day, that we need to have an official holiday called Slap a Baptist in the Face Day. But this goes back to those guys. Anyone that's arrogant enough to believe that we're the only life that could be created in an entire universe upon universes, galaxies upon galaxies, planets upon planets, I mean, who the hell do we think we
are?
Our little old blue ball.
I know. I'm saying, who the hell do we think we are that we're the only, we're it? Come on. What small pea-brained fool sitting out there right now goes, there ain't no such thing as aliens. Well, hold on, maybe we're the aliens.
Yeah.
really, really open your mind to possibilities, because what I'm saying is, you're a fool, to quote Mr. T, enough jibba-jab a fool, because it's time to open your mind.
Yeah.
And only on this show tonight can you hear this philosophical opening your mind statement tied to Mr. T and jibba-jabba.
That's right.
But the truth is, it really is true.
It is.
You get to the point where you're like, hold on, how can we be the only things in the world? So do I believe in UFOs? Absolutely. Do I know what they are? No. Do I believe in the existence of life on other planets? Of course I do, because even the microscopic organisms that they've recently found frozen on Mars proves that there was once life there.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes, there is life on other planets. And for anyone to say there's not is a pretty narrow-minded, egocentric, and arrogant thing to say.
Right.
And you guys are closed-minded jerks, and you need to slap a Baptist in the face.
That's about the way we feel.
And taking it a step farther, abductions, because that's a little different situation there. You can say, well, there's life on other planets, but what about actual abductions here on Earth?
There's different things about that. I've met people that absolutely, I believe, were abducted for something. I've known people, I've seen things that I can't deny. I've talked to people that I know are sincere because I've seen it firsthand. I've watched people break down in front of me. And unless they're the best actor in the world and they need an Academy Award, then honestly, I have to say I believe it's a real phenomenon. But do I know what it is? No. Do I think maybe it's something going on within our own government? Maybe. Is it someone needing – because let's face it, there's all kinds of things you need tests on. Are they grabbing someone out to do some of that? Right. I don't know. Random people. Is it aliens? Maybe. Is it something where they're giving people hallucinogenics and they're thinking it's aliens? Maybe. Maybe it's a
psychosomatic.
They'll give you whenever you go before a hypnotist, they can give you post-hypnotic suggestions to make you think things that happened that didn't.
Right.
Same kind of thing. The human mind is such an intricate web of endless possibilities, and we are only maybe experiencing a tiny pinhead of that every day. Even Einstein said, what are we using? 17% maybe at the most. Even a genius is using 17% of their brain because our synapses are firing in different ways, but we haven't learned how to tap into the other parts.
Yeah.
Our brain knows how. When we sleep, it's doing different things.
Sometimes when the body goes into shock and stuff like that, I mean, it starts doing its own thing. Right. You're sitting there going,
how did I pick up that Volvo? What's going on here? Or better yet, how do people have deja vu moments that are absolutely true?
Yeah.
But they're not psychic.
I've done that.
Exactly.
Even as a kid, I've told the story on the show before. Even as a kid, Friday night, I'd go to bed. I'd watch cartoons in my dreams. I'd wake up Saturday morning, be the same cartoon. I'd turn the channel because I've already watched that one.
See, there you go.
And it's like,
you got your own John Edwards over there.
I'm sensing somebody's name begins with a C.
I was at this is years ago. I was at kind of a dinner party sort of thing, and happened to be there was the head of the psychological society in the Midwest. He was a big shot in the whole United States. Big time dude and, hospital executive and all that crap. And of course, I'm the idiot that has to ask, what's the deal about this abduction thing? And of course, this has nothing to do with UFOs. This is just a, straightforward, closed-minded bunch of people. And he said, well, what do you think? And I say, no, I'm asking you. He says, well, they believe it's real. And I just kept pushing him and pushing him. He said, what's really crazy is you have stories, the same stories by people in different times, different places. And he said, specifically, this was down in Springfield, Missouri, specifically around Stockton Lake, people that didn't know each other had the same exact experiences. And here's somebody that's as closed-minded and as tight as you can get saying, there's something about this.
Well, then you have people like Stanton Friedman who are, nuclear physicists and who are brilliant minds saying it's absolutely real. He believed that he's seen things that has absolutely given him. I mean, the man held pieces of metal in his hand that were from, a crash in Roswell that they say didn't exist. Yeah. And yet he's holding these pieces of metal that were not even from any alloy on this planet.
Right.
So what's
instead
that
of going, this doesn't exist here. Well, and nobody can make this.
Right. So where did this come from? And then the argument was, well, if it was a meteor from a different area, it could have been a different type of ore that we don't have here, and it could have got fused on its way in as, fire so hot. But then he's like, but how do you explain the markings on it? What did that happen to? Somebody get a little
It looks like a cow right there to me. Maybe a giraffe over here.
And let me ask you this. This is something very important, and I say this to everybody. When they busted open areas of the crypts that they've never been into when they were getting into the tombs in Egypt, and they were busting down into the pyramids, and they were busting down into the Sphinx, and they opened chambers that had never been in, and they get in there, and it's live television, and they're showing hieroglyphics on the wall that has helicopters on it.
Yeah.
Okay, then suddenly, they go to commercial.
Yep.
We never see them again.
Yep.
Let me ask you, just among the three of us even, how would an Egyptian know what the hell a helicopter is?
Yep, exactly.
So it makes your mind wonder, and that's why I say be open-minded. Don't immediately go, oh, some freak put that on there. It was all staged. Yeah. Why? Because you can't comprehend it? Does that mean it was staged? Once again, slap a Baptist day.
Yep. I have it's actually under one of our show notes, and you'll want to show them.
The
show note is prehistoric UFO and ET images found in remote cave. And I think this was India.
Oh, yeah.
And they found these drawings in a cave. And it's exactly what you were talking about. It's taking a second to pop up here.
No problem. I know what you're talking about, actually.
You've seen the thing. It seems like to me that the whole anthropology, archaeologists, whoever the hell they are, they don't. If it doesn't fit their box, then they just throw it out.
The preconceived
and nobody
ideas,
talks about
that's
it.
That's right. And if it doesn't fit their theory, if it's not going to sell their book, and if it goes against their own let's face it, everyone has an agenda out there, and even scientists, they have to get funding, and so they don't want to go too far because they don't want to make anyone mad.
Right.
And a lot of the funding in this country comes from people that are backed by what? Christian sciences.
Yep.
And you've got a lot of your people who are religious backing that. So they have to really be careful. Many of these people I've talked to believe in it, but they will never go on the record because they say, look, if I was to come out and say this tomorrow out in public, and I've had them sit with me at the Stanley Hotel and tell me, Todd, if I was to say this tomorrow in public, all my grants would be pulled and I would never get another grant. So I'm not going to say this.
Government grants too. I mean,
that's it. Because the government grants are backed by Christian leaders in this country. And the truth of the matter is, if someone came forth and said, all right, there are books that are lost to the Bible. They're in the Vatican that are hidden by the Illuminati. And the reason they're hidden is because they talk about aliens or they talk about something that's not supposed to be known. And they brought out the proof of it.
Yeah.
Well, that might hurt this multi-billion-dollar thing called organized religion in this country.
Yep.
Now, do I think that – am I bashing God? Of course not. Am I bashing anyone who believes in God? Of course not. I'm bashing organized religion because it's become big business in this country.
Yep, it has.
And they are controlling everything. They are the people who back our government. And I can tell you right now, there are things – when I read the Bible as a kid even, because my mom is a Baptist school teacher. Okay, my dad was Catholic, so I was all messed up. So I'm sitting here. My mom's like a Baptist school teacher. I need to read the Bible all the time. That's the way it was. And
right.
Let me tell you, I would say to my mom, Mom, what happened to Jesus? He's been out of the book for months now. What's going on? And she's like, well, this is the time when he was traveling. Okay, so how come no one documented any of that?
No one's got documentation? He didn't take a book with him?
The dude was born, then nothing happened, and then suddenly he reappeared. And then he was only there for a little bit, and then he was gone again, and then he came back, and he was killed, and then, hey, he's floating around.
Yeah, they're having a sequel later on, apparently.
Like
sequel version.
The
new
Testament of Jesus Christ.
And then all throughout the Bible, they're talking about crazy things like burning bushes and chariots of fire. And if you were a person back in that age, and you didn't know what the hell a car was, you didn't know what the hell a plane was, and you didn't know what the hell a train was, you're going to say, this is what you knew.
Right.
All right? People ride in chariots. So this chariot's got fire and it's flying through the sky. It's carrying people.
That was the first book to really pique my interest.
Chariots of the Gods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great book. And what? It was brilliant. There were some things in it that were kind of far-fetched, but at the same time, it made us think, right?
Right.
Yeah. It opened our minds. And that's what it's all about out here. That's why I do the show, is because I meet people every day that I have a guest on the show, every guest. And someone says, well, what about, who's your favorite? Every person I have is my favorite guest, because it could be a guy that just started a paranormal group last week, and they went to one location, and they caught that elusive shot.
Yes.
That no one else has ever got, that full-body apparition. Or it could be a guy that's a physicist who's been doing this for 45 years, and he knows all these amazing things.
Yeah.
You learn something every day. And in my mind, if you can't learn something every day of your life, it's a day that's wasted.
Yeah.
You've got to move forward as a person.
And I don't want to – what?
Go ahead. I was going to show them the show
I'm
now.
Seeing this ghostly girl thing. I'm laughing.
Yeah.
What?
Possibly. Here.
I see that. I'm like going, all right, I don't know. You know what I think, though? I think they've got a lot more people that are paying for those tours at that castle now.
Yeah.
And I actually think she's hot, so that's what I'm
going
at.
See,
supposedly there's no floor in that room.
Yeah.
And there's no way that they could be there. Well,
and it could be. I wasn't there, so I'm going to be skeptical and joke, but at the same time, I'm going to have an open mind and say,
that's
could be.
Maybe.
That's me too. I mean, we make fun of stuff, but we're about as open.
One of the things Jason
Hawes
said this to me many times, and when I first met him, he said the best thing in the world you could be is a skeptic, because healthy skeptic, though, there's a difference. Some skeptics make you mad, because you could bring a guy that – you could bring a ghost in Jack in a Box and set him across and give him some tacos.
Right.
And the person sitting there eating with him will deny that it's a ghost the whole time they're there, because that's not skeptic. That's dumb.
Right.
To me, a skeptic is someone who's healthy enough to look at both sides, a neutral skeptic, someone who comes into a situation and says, you know what? I don't know. No one says that anymore, do they?
Yeah.
Everyone's afraid to say, I don't know. But I'm like, you know what? I don't know. So if someone brought a ghost into me and I'm sitting there eating tacos, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, wow, I had tacos with a ghost. That
was awesome.
Damn cool. That was all right.
And he liked the hot sauce.
And it was weird because I could see the taco going all the way down.
It was Taco Bell, so it came all the way out the back.
I was going to say, if it was Taco Bell, it came back up and out and all over the place.
Let me play you this, a couple of little things here. If we got time.
Nope.
When we come back.
When we come back, we'll do this.
We'll be right back with more Up All Night with Maggie Travis.
join me, Dominic Forbes, every Sunday morning, 10 till midday, here on KC Online Radio.
Soft rock classics. Dominic Forbes.
Okay, you ready? The way it's said properly is...
The cockroach!
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The cockroach, man.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
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 Cockroach. Cockroach. Cockroach. Cockroach.
I had nothing to say. Stop bothering me.
The cockroach.
The cockroach.
The Internet's Talk Superstation.
Check us out online at myspace.com/roachradio.
You may not use rage-enhancing substances such as caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, crack cocaine, flippy flippies, jellies, stingers, trick sticks, bing-bangs, or flying willies.
It's Mac and Travis on the Up All Night Radio Show.
All right, well, we're shooting right through this. By the way, if you have a question for Todd, Travis has got the chat box open and going on there. He'll keep an eye on for questions. So if you got a question, just put it in the chat box.
Yeah, I'll just scroll back through here.
Mac and Travis. .com is the website. Todd Sheets is our guest. I got some audio I want to play him. These are just real short. Just get his perspective on it. And I bet you get sent tons of crap, too.
Well, yeah, I get a lot of different stuff. But, you know, I have to say, it's all pretty interesting, though. I mean, you could, like I said, you never know when you're going to get open that email to that one thing and you go, oh, my God.
This is it. Wow. The Holy Grail has been found.
It's kind of, you know, I'm certainly not a researcher or anything. We just dabble in it with fun, especially the reverse speech. And done a little work with EVP. The only thing I think I'm good at is I'm recognizing when I take a file of an EVP or something like that, I know what's not, you know, something. So I can eliminate all the bullshit. You know, okay. That's the air conditioner coming on. Or that's a car I can, you know, just being in audio for as long as I have. So I can eliminate. So this kind of eliminates in the... We've had a few of these. You know, there's a handful or five or ten. I'm not going to play them all. I'm going to play this first one. But this is an interesting, and it's just one word, so I mean, I'm sure you can say it not. But anyway, my friend Rebecca, we set it up when she went to bed, a recorder, and her guides from a spiritual standpoint is called the Elohim.
Okay.
And this is what I found in the middle of the night, and there was other stuff connected with this that was really hard to hear, but I don't want to play it because you can interpret it, but this one was kind of cool. So this was what I found in the middle of the night. Hopefully it's... Let me turn it up here and make sure we hear it. Kind of interesting. I mean, it's just one of those things.
That's weird. Are you sure you weren't, like, having bad indigestion? We talked about Taco Bell.
But that's one of the fascinating ones I found.
That is really cool, man. That's really cool.
And
I was over here like paying attention to that and all this weird stuff going on. I mean, well, you're licking the hell out of that thing. Man. I was like, was that Clinton brand cigars or what?
Deep inside.
He's ready to do that. He's ready to do that.
I'm sorry. This is a Cuba cigar and it's my favorite one.
I gotcha.
It smells. You'll smell it. It smells good.
I'm probably afraid of that because I don't smoke at all, so it's gonna scare me. I'm sure.
Scares his wife too. So anyway, there's that.
No, it's
and then I wanted to get in reverse speech. And reverse speech is just...
Oh yeah, I like that.
It's like I said, I've heard stuff. And the bad part about it is I'll do like an hour's worth of reverse speech, and it makes your brain go crazy.
It does.
It just freaks you out. But this is actually examples of our president. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that doesn't really care about me. It's just the reverse speech is kind of... And this is like the ultimate reverse speech as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure you've heard of this one where, let's see, he's saying, yes, we can.
Right.
And forward. I'll play
over
it
and over
forward.
And over.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Reverse?
Yes, we...
And in reverse, it's...
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
What's it supposed to be saying? I can't understand it.
Thank you, Satan.
Is that what you think?
Well,
I can't hear the Satan in there. I only hear one syllable.
Well, let's hear it.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
Someone's catching a tire on fire over
there. Thank you, Satan.
It's like a tire burning. Jeez.
Sorry.
It's going to smell really good, kind of like whenever you screech your tires on the sidewalk outside.
And she's going to be complaining, too.
Catching a tire on fire.
Reverse speech is kind of...
That is cool stuff, but I didn't catch that. Now, see, sometimes I catch it, but that time I didn't catch that. I only caught... I caught the thank you saint, but I didn't get the Satan.
I guess
out of
it could be saint. I never thought about that.
I didn't hear two syllables. That's my thing.
What I'll usually do is I got the software. I can draw it out a little bit, kind of slow it down.
See what it does.
As long as it doesn't, you know, change the actual texting. It
continuation,
helps out
right? Yeah.
I've done that.
But you know, reverse speech as a whole is a very exciting field, and I'm trying to find some more people to talk about it. We've had a few. But some people are, again, scared to come out about it. But there are some really strange times whenever you can hear messages in there, and it's like, whoa, is that a coincidence, or is that just... Yeah. And then, of course, there's a kind of reverse speech that's really fun whenever you used to, like, get the, you know, the Def Leppard record spinning.
That song, Chicago!
That song, Action Not Words, where it's like, you be the, I'll be the hero, you be the star, back was like, some, like, the devil saved my life, or some weird stuff that I was doing. Power in Satan. You're like, okay, well, you know, because you can kind of hear whatever the hell you want to hear. Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
Like Little Nicky. That. Have you ever seen the movie Little Nicky with Adam Sandler?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
The Oz man always came straight forward with his message.
That's right.
The Chicago.
That's right. It's these other guys you have to worry about. Yeah. Then Maiden would put that weird stuff like right in the middle of two songs. Iron Maiden puts a backwards message and you play it backwards. And it's like in French. And then you find out it means don't meddle with things you don't understand.
Yeah.
Saying, don't be messing around. One of the bands I listen to put on, you're really bored, aren't you?
That's awesome. You know, that'd be funny to put it on. You're really bored, aren't you, listening backwards?
I know. It's like you've really got a lot of time on your hands.
Maybe you should pick up another hobby.
That's it. Exactly.
Wasn't there one where one of the Beatles was...
Paul is dead. Yeah.
Paul is dead. Yeah, I remember that one, too.
They were messing around, though. You know, everything was weird during that
time. Probably,
later. But Paul was... It was actually Paul is death. See, and people weren't getting that. But Paul was the walrus, which is the symbol of death.
I am the Eggman.
I am the walrus. So it was all tied into this goofiness. And at the time, they were on like 3,000 different types of PCP or something.
At 3 a.m. in the morning.
What do they know?
Make an album quick.
Yeah, they've been working for like days in there. Who knows what they're doing. So, yeah, it was bad. My God, man, I tell you what, this tire over here is awesome. I'm going to make fun of that for like the next 10 years.
You like it or do you not like it?
Oh, no, it's horrifying. Are you kidding me? How do you deal with that? Doesn't that smell? Your wife's over here looking at you like she's got to kiss this guy later. She's looking at this guy like, my God, I'm going to have to kiss a tire.
She usually licks it, though, so beforehand.
Yeah, usually it's a little more exciting than me licking it. But
well, I would hope so. That frightened the hell out of me. That was the most paranormal thing I've seen all night.
Like, I don't ever want to go back over there again. You should see this guy, Travis. Little freaky.
Yeah, he was pretty cool till he whipped the cigar out.
I've been trying to keep the pipe smoking down for you, though, but it was why I have to have it. So, any questions in the box right at the moment, or we'll move on?
No, I don't think so.
The box is dry.
I'm sure there's conspiracy questions, but we'll get to those later.
If we're talking conspiracy, we have to talk about Kansas City because everything you do here is kind of what. We'll be nice.
2012.
And what's today? Slap a Baptist Day.
Slap a Baptist Day. Official Slap a Baptist Day.
Well, I was born and went to Catholic school, so I don't know. You slap a Catholic. Or I like to slap a Catholic schoolgirl on the butt, but that's another story.
I got to tell you something, man. You know what? I think that's why, you know, I really get a kick out of these nunsploitation movies. I don't know if you've heard of them. Like, you know, during the 70s and the 80s, we had all these nun movies. You know, like, I don't know what they are. You know, there's a million of them. Yeah. School of the Holy Beast and things like that. And I love all those movies. Images in a Convent. I got them all. Killer Nun. I got them. And the thing is, I love those movies, and I think it's because my dad was Catholic, and I used to have to go and deal with these people. And my dad actually went to Catholic school, and he never had a good thing to say about the demonic penguins. And I was like, you know, there's something to be said about nuns. And then in my band Dissension, we used to crucify one every night, which was a lovely thing here in Kansas City. We were the poster boys here.
Yeah, I see. Well, yeah, you're popular in the town.
Yeah, that's why they love us here in Kansas City. It was all just, and you know what, it was all in fun because we were like, what could really offend some people? Let's just do something really fun. And then my friend Brian's like, well, let's make a video for this song Inside Twisted Walls. And the song's basically about a movie where, you know, this nun is... One of them's possessed by the devil, and then she takes on the whole, ends up bringing the whole convent to its knees, and it's a fun little movie, called Alucarda is the name of the movie, and so we wrote a song about it. So he brings these girls in from Hallmark, and we ended up doing a video, and the video's basically got lesbian nuns and demons and all this evil stuff. So we went ahead and we went
nice.
For it.
And all out, was, all
and,
out.
And here I am, a nerd, and I tell you what, I never shot anything like this before, and it was pretty explicit, and I was like, wow, this is pretty. strange. And it turned out to be the biggest move we ever made, though, because the band ended up playing Milwaukee Metal Fest and touring all over because of this. This video is
nice.
Like, really went out. Because, and it wasn't even, we weren't like even trying to be mean. We were just thinking it was funny.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like we're kids, and then you were like, ha ha ha, let's watch this. Doing a little Bart Simpson, you know, let's poke him here. Let's give him a little. Because it's, to me, it's like they're so easy to make fun of. It's like, come on, you know, because like I said, it's nothing against God or anybody else. It's against the fact that these guys are so close minded. And right. So that's why slap a Baptist day, and then we'll come up with something else with the Catholics. Because, Catholic.
I knew a lot of very they actually, and this is this, I swear to God, they force fed me. They held me down and force fed me broccoli in school. That's right. And the thing was,
broccoli's the devil's vegetable.
The priests were all cool, and I was not. I was an altar boy, and I was never.
That's
touched.
Why the priests were all cool.
That's right.
Like, hey, he's a future prospect.
And I was the cutest son of a bitch you've ever saw as a little boy, and they never touched me. And it still affects me to this day.
Like, you're like, man, I was even dissed then.
That's right.
I got this candy in my pocket. Oh, not for that guy. No candy for that kid right there.
And that kid looks cute. Like trouble.
I had a cute little ass. No. Anyway, enough of that story.
I was going to say, man, that's way too much information. I'm new here. Come on.
Okay, 2012. World's coming to an end. I don't have to go to work. I'm happy.
No more house payments. We're good.
We'll sit home and watch Alf reruns. Willie, where's the kitty?
What do you think?
I love that movie.
That was a great show, isn't it? You know what I think, honestly? I think, once again, we are at the discretion of fools. Let me remind everyone about when things became the Y2K scare.
Oh, yes.
The world was going to end. How many times in my lifetime have I heard this just insanity? I one of my things is I have a lot of mice as pets. I love mice. And I don't feed them to anything. I just like them. But watching them, you know, they get kind of freaked out. And, like, one of them will freak out for some reason, like if a storm's coming. It'll freak out the whole cage.
Yeah.
People are a lot like that. People, like, all it takes is one guy to act like a fool, then everyone starts going, why is he acting like a fool? Then everybody else starts acting like a fool.
The sky's falling. Right, that's
exactly what it is. It's like Chicken Little out there. Yeah. 2012, everyone's like, well, the calendar stops. Well, the guy had to stop somewhere. Jesus, do you remember when he started it? This calendar. Plus, I say, all right, look, let's look at our current calendar. Does anyone realize that we are not on their same timeline? Because our calendar comes from a different civilization. Yeah. You know, the Mayan calendar was not our calendar. The Egyptian calendars were not our calendars. Every calendar for every civilization and every group of people is different. And our calendar is based on this calendar and this calendar. And it combined.
This number is up here and this number is there.
We're a little bit
of course, our calendar ends at December 31st or 30th. So maybe the end of the world is coming to an end.
That's right. Every year it's going to end. My thoughts are, look, honestly, you have to look at it from the standpoint of, 2012 is when the guy got tired of writing. Because it's like when you look at the fact that he started this thing so many years ago, how could he possibly go much further? I mean, he probably thought to himself, okay, look, I'm done.
Whoever
comes in next, they're going to take over the calendar from that point on. I'm going to be fired by then. I'm going to be dead. Someone else will start the calendar. I mean, because in their minds, they never knew that their civilization was going to fall, right?
Right.
So they're thinking, okay, I'm done for now. We don't need to go any further than this today. I mean, this is like 2,000 years in the future.
Yeah, we're good.
So that's why I think to myself, okay, let's look at their timeline. Is it even accurate to our timeline? Yeah. Are we ahead of them or are we behind them? All of this comes into play, and nobody's really answering those questions. Not even the scientists, because they don't even know.
Yeah.
So it's all speculation. And in all honesty, I don't think we're going to have any problems. Nostradamus was okay. He needs to lay off the fatty foods apparently, and no more butt cake before bed. Nostradamus. Well,
they find a new prediction from Nostradamus every year.
Right, they do find stuff. And I think Nostradamus has made some cool predictions. But again, when you make 3,000 predictions a year, a few of them are going to have to come true. Let's go back to John Edwards. Come on. In all respect, I like John Edwards, but I don't know. I mean, I'm still not sure. I'm neutral.
Neutral.
Maybe he's got the gift. Maybe he's just really good at guessing. Because
I think
One of the things they teach you when you're trained to be a psychologist or when you're in the psychiatric field, they teach you how to really read people. Hypnotists can read people. There's people out there. The Amazing Kreskin will be the first to tell you. Look, I'm not psychic. I can read people. I'm good at it. And he is. I've had him on my show. He talks about it. He says, don't call me psychic because I'm not. Just say, the Amazing Kreskin. I'm a mentalist. I can come out and I can look around and I can put things together. Some people, I know you've seen TV shows where like guys will come out and look around and, you know, Spock or someone like that. Boom, boom, boom. They're putting things together so quick. They see a thing. Boom, we just got it all. We just figured it all out. You know, that's why you got Sherlock Holmes out there who's,
right.
Boom. in 2 minutes, he's got the whole case solved. He's, Scotland Yard's been working on it for 7 weeks. Batman's, you know, of course, these are fictional characters, but they're based on real people. Where,
right.
You know,
right.
There are people like that. They can go out there, and they're amazing at what they do. Nostradamus, I think it was the same way. He's going to be right. He's going to be wrong. Sometimes it just happens. But I don't believe it, we're going to die in 2012. To get back to your question from 3 weeks ago, I really don't believe we're going to die.
I should go ahead and make my house payments.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would continue life as normal, and then if it does hit, hey, you're going out doing what you love to do, man. Forget about it. And if it's going to hit and you got some kind of warning, I suggest everyone go get one of those Chevy vans and pile it full of 15 naked people and go back to the drive-in.
We're going to have a good time tonight, boys.
Go back to the drive-in.
I do think, you know, everybody needs to have at least something prepared because all these damned earthquakes and everything, you got to have something, you know, stashed away, but... You know, it needs to be there. You don't
think
need
about all
2 years of food.
We've had those before, though, right? We've had bad earthquakes that looked like horrible disasters before. Yeah. The biggest disaster we got right now is in the White House. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm not against anyone. This is not a political statement. All I'm saying
get in with McShane. They'll just rant together.
The biggest catastrophe I think we have right now is really what's going on around us, that we don't have any control over our own lives anymore in this country. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
We're told every time we do something or don't do something that we're wrong. So.
Well, they're trying to tell us what to eat
everything. Next week it'll change. This week... Yeah. Eat hamburger next week. It's bad for you.
Don't eat eggs. Eggs are bad for you. Then it was like, oh, yeah, eggs are really good for you.
You need to get some eggs in there.
All what the pharmaceutical companies want. You know, they got to keep that going. Anyway.
I just use George Burns as my role model.
I could tell because you got this rubber cigar.
And he ate eggs.
The thing burned out, didn't it? It's not going. God, man. I'm just going to have to find a fire extinguisher.
You got to wait 20 minutes and then you can light it up there.
Jesus, man, that was awesome. That was
anyway.
When I think of like a villain from a Batman comic, that's what he's smoking. I swear to God.
There you go.
Jesus.
I'm part of the Joker.
I think that might kill the Joker. I don't know.
You can work that into a movie there.
So I want to get back. I forgot to ask you this: the Master of Splatter, the Prince of Gore. Do you like? I mean, are you offended by that, or you think it's cool?
Oh heck no! You know, the guy that came before me, the Godfather of Gore, was Herschel Gordon Lewis, and I happen to be a friend of Herschel's. And he did the movie Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, Wizard of Gore, Gore Gore Girls. He did it all. He was the one that pioneered, and the reason why he did it was because at that time they were making small movies for the drive-in circuit, and they were competing with the big Hollywood movies. The big Hollywood movies were trying to shut out the little guys. They were saying, we're going to rent this screen. You're not going to play this little stuff.
Right.
So these guys needed a hook. Nudity had been incorporated into the Hollywood mainstream at that time because they were making little nudie-cutie movies, which, by the way, were very innocent. You know, they just have a girl run through naked or play volleyball. You know, it's 1963. They lost that market, so they said, okay, we'll do what they won't do. We're going to show the hard gore stuff. We're gonna have blood spraying everywhere because at that time, you know, before that, you couldn't have people sitting on a bed together without their legs on the floor, and they had to be fully clothed. Well, that changed. But they still wouldn't show the hard, like, unless you're Sam Peckinpah doing the Wild Bunch, and that got an X rating, if you remember.
Yeah.
So no one was showing the bloody stuff. So Herschel said, you know what, let's go with some Heinz 57, give me a couple of mannequin parts, and we're going to make a bloody movie here. And it made a huge hit because people everywhere were like, God, that's gross. But it was also like a thrill ride, like a endurance test. Like
it's like a train wreck. You can't look away.
It's kind of like riding a ride at a amusement park because you know, it kind of makes you sick, but you got to ride it. You know? As it evolved, it became an art form because it's the makeup effects industry now.
Absolutely.
They even have, you know, awards for that because the fact is it became an art form to where, look, I hate stuff. I hate to see real animals hurt or real people hurt. I hate those faces of death movies. You know, it's crap.
Yeah.
But I'll even tell you a funny story about that if we have time. But when it comes to the art of makeup effects and gore effects, it's all part of the thing. It's like if you were on a roller coaster and you rode all the way up to the top of the hill and then there was no drop, what would happen? Now in the early days, back in the 40s, the drop could be a cat jumping out of the dark closet. You know, it was different.
Right. Yeah.
But as we changed... What scares us? Well, I don't know. We went to Vietnam. Suddenly, nothing was scary anymore.
Yeah.
We look on the evening news, and we see like 12 gangbangers shoot a guy for no reason. A kid just got shot in the face sitting on his front porch. What's scary? They have to take it to that next level. That's where that drop is on the hill. That's why horror movies have more and more explicit scares, kind of gore and stuff.
Hey, we'll be right back with more Up All Night with Mac and Travis.
You're listening to the Music Alternative.
The Texas Blues Cafe, man. All the way.
Yeah. Taking blues into the 21st century.
21st century.
21st century blues.
All the music that anyone would want to hear.
I absolutely love your music.
I'm so happy. I am totally hooked on you guys. I'll never go back to the other one.
I'm going to Texas. Yeah, yeah.
Exploring podcast technology and striving for bluescast excellence. We are the Texas Blues Cafe.
Now heard Saturday nights at 10. Here on KCLR Online Radio.
Hey, this is Mark Kerr. If you plan to buy a CD or digital downloads in the near future, make sure that one of your purchases is from an independent artist. We are the future of the music business.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Mick Shane from the Mick Shane Rock Show, and you're listening to Kansas City Online Radio, KCOR.
Do you want to see me in a cheerleading outfit? It's Mac and Travis on the Up All Night Radio Show.
All right, back here on the Up All Night Radio Show. Conversation. Todd Sheets in the studio with us. Jamming. And we're going to hit some show notes. We're going to let him give his opinion on some of this stuff here.
All righty.
On the show notes. And we'll go to the thing.
My opinion? It might scare you.
Your opinion on it. The first time on the show notes, I got hammered by this, that we needed to do a Marijuana Awareness Month whole show dedicated to it. Because I was told, you go for it. Because blues music and marijuana goes together. That's what I was told.
What? The Grateful Dead, maybe. I don't know.
So I like the idea, but unfortunately, it's February and it's about over with. So we missed out on it.
Forget that.
Yeah. What were we supposed to do again?
And we forgot about it.
I look, you know, people who can see the cam and people who see me on the website, I look like I'd be the biggest party animal in the world, but I've never smoked a joint. I've never done one drug. I've only drank twice in my whole life. I'm the cleanest nerd there is, but the key word is I'm a nerd. That's why I have the long hair. But my thing is, I can't really answer this because marijuana, I think, is a wonderful tool for pain relief and medical practices. Yeah. I've got a friend that's just a 42nd Street Pete's. I've never known anyone that can do as much pot as not even Cheech and Chong. I think Cheech and Chong would look at 42nd Street Pete and go, "There's our Lord."
But
at the same time, me personally, I like to have a straight mind. I like to be completely in charge. And I get high off of other things. I get high off of Jack in the Box, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Batman. Leave you to a Jack in the Box.
That's right. Awesome. I can see it, man. See? We're going to have a big deal.
Awesome.
Heck yeah.
And my wife's in here if you didn't know.
Because, see, I want to start carrying this show on Jackalope Radio. And then see what we'll do is we'll have you guys, and we'll get all together, and we'll have a big powwow somewhere. I'll have you guys come to St. Louis to the Limp Mansion when we do the investigation there. All go to Jack in the Box, man. Everybody else will be looking at you and I.
Awesome.
We'll take the whole place down. We'll have to close.
You guys eat too much. You have to leave now.
That's it. You'll be here for an hour. You go.
Tony, man, Jack
you guys
in the Box.
Are crazy.
Jack in the Box
is
awesome.
It's all right, but
we find a way to bring it back no matter what. He's trying to get through the list. We're like, forget the list. Jack in the Box.
I guess after a couple of tokes on some weed, I probably would want Jack in the Box too. But
Jack in the Box is good by itself.
That's awesome.
Let's see. We're going to skip the dead woman comes back alive right before burial. That's kind of weird, but I guess
that would be a rough one.
You ever done any of that where you're buried alive? And
you know, I'm going to have to tell you, I passed on the old burial alive thing. I think it's just the idea of being buried alive. I don't think anyone really likes
living
that.
Living fuck out of me, to tell you the truth.
I was going to say, I don't know anyone that would say, you know, I just really look forward to that.
That sounds cool.
Unless, of course, it's us and we're being buried with some Jack in the Box.
Yeah, well, hey. There's a year's supply of Jack in the Box down there. He's good for at least a year.
As I'm going. give me a Blu-ray player and some Jack in the Box.
Yeesh. Crazy guys.
Like that Doritos commercial for the Super Bowl with the dude in there with a bunch of Doritos and watching the game. What?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, Jack in the Box. We should get money for this. That's all I think of.
I say that a lot, yeah.
Sheep gives birth to a human faced lamb. This is kind of old, but I did want to put it up there. It's been around.
See, you can't even have hair on your head anymore without people seeing a face in it.
Yeah.
And the Virgin Mary is on his feet.
Yeah, we usually have that all the time.
That's one of our running jokes, is that, you know, I'm just gonna take something. I'm gonna slap a picture of the Virgin Mary on it, or
just
Jesus,
let mold grow on it. People will see what they want to see. It's like a Rorschach test.
People I always see boobs, though. That's my problem.
Well, see,
everywhere
that,
I go
that tells
boobs.
You something about him, doesn't it?
That's right.
He's going to have a Chevy van next week. It's going to have a shag carpet and a whirlpool in the back.
Don't worry. Your sister or your mom or your daughter is inside.
Yep, it's going to be rocking when he drives down the road, but it'll be rocking with fog hat, not like hip-hop or anything. Slow ride!
That'd be awesome! I got to tell him this. This is what I've, you know, because you're from Kansas City, you know, you'll pull up to a stoplight and they'll be beating their stuff.
Oh, it's awful.
We have a sound effect that's a moose.
Oh, awesome.
Have you ever heard a moose call?
Oh, yeah.
I've wanted to get that and put it on a CD, and then whenever I pull up next to somebody doing that, I want to put that CD in and just roll down the windows and crank up the moose call.
That's
just
awesome.
I
put in Norwegian black metal at that point because they're screaming evil demonic things in Norwegian, and it's the fastest music on the face of the planet, and then they usually look over and go, white boy crazy.
Don't mess with this guy.
they either like give me the cross or run.
I always pull up and I want to crank up my stereo, and then by God, it's always a sucky ass Barry Manilow or something, and everything else is a playing commercial.
Kind of ruins it when you're up there and they're like oomch oomch, yeah. And you're like, oh Mandy, well, sorry.
yeah, just
whoa, finger grow. Slipped on the dial.
The moment's over.
Either that or a damn commercial for Jack in the Box.
That'd be awesome. See, then I'd be like, all right.
All right, tell us the you give us the detail on the next story, and I'll get the sound effects. Sorry, we got to do this.
All right, this
I got to find it.
Oh, this is the 16-foot long giant.
No,
fish.
No, the one before that.
One before that, the sheep
we already
one.
Did the sheep
no,
one.
Yeah, see. Refresh.
Oh, do I have to refresh?
Oh man, what's going on here?
I thought I did. Oh, there it is. Oh. I didn't know that. I didn't. My bad. Wedding for goat rapist. That one?
Yes. Read that story, please.
All right. This
you
is,
don't have to read it all. Just get.
This is an odd story. This is from I can't
Sugar
remember.
Creek.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on, baby. Give daddy some loving.
Apparently, these two guys were caught having sex with sheep, and the owner of the sheep wants them to get married.
Wow. Right. But see, the headline said goats, so we got...
Oh, I'm sorry. Goats. Goats.
Yeah, but there's sheep on the picture.
Yeah.
Those are goats. Those are something.
Come on, baby. Give daddy some loving.
Since you're here, I'm not playing these stupid sound effects.
I like that. That's
I had
funny.
To play that one, so...
But yeah, they want them to get married. They want them... Since they were having sex with them.
Well, you know, I have seen some pretty scary weddings in Missouri, so it probably would be,
You know, I saw, this is for you guys, because you're more of a country guy than anybody, but I read this poll that said 1 out of 10 farm boys has had sex with an animal.
Oh, wow.
And where
give
do they have
reaction.
The most farms in the world? This is the truth. Where do they have the most farms in the United States of America? Missouri.
There you go.
Misery.
Right,
you hear it. Every time you drive around here, you hear that.
Right, anyway, next item on the show notes. Everybody.
That's awesome.
The 16-foot long giant fish found in Kansas?
Yeah, you're a big fisherman. He's actually a professional fisherman. Did you
That's
know
That's awesome, man.
I got paid for winning the tournament.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome, man.
So, but he never did
do it though. I feel bad because I always want to throw people in and catch them and then throw them back. I feel bad about doing that to fish because fish are like, what's going on here? Hey.
Hey.
Oh, look at this. This is a nice morsel of, oh, geez, what happened to me? Whereas if it's a person, at least you kind of know, oh, I'm stupid. I got a hook in my mouth.
How'd this get here?
Of course, in this area, you'd have to put a block of meth on the end of it and then you catch a lot of people.
That would almost be worth recording.
There you go. That's your next you'll start a reality show. Fishing in Jackson County.
That would be awesome.
You never know what you'll get, but they're all Walmart ex employees. Or patrons.
Oh, nice. Have you ever actually since you mentioned Walmart, have you ever been to the people of Walmart?
Yeah,
site.
It's crazy. But, you know, Larry Cable Guy says it best when he says, look at all these 30,000 people here tonight. No one's shopping at Walmart. That's kind of it. I can't say much. I shop at Walmart, but, hey, yeah. We all do, right?
You can't avoid
when,
it.
When it's 3 in the morning and you got to have that Blu-ray,
that's right.
Where are you going to go, right? Everything's closed.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, what's the Exploding Head one?
I think that was ignorant, but I can't remember what it was now.
I
what
don't know.
It?
I didn't
not
think
sexual,
Scanners.
Though.
Scanners.
Oh, apparently there's a thing about people's heads can explode. Spontaneous combustion of heads.
We've already known that. Us in the paranormal, we've known that for years.
Yeah.
The driving crowd has known that too.
Probably they're trying to explain it here, but
Christopher Walken, we know what's happening. Dead zone.
Let's see what else we got on the show notes here. Interesting. Oh, don't forget the Des Moines is having their Bacon Fest this year. It's on this weekend. You probably can get in there tomorrow.
Sweet.
Oh, Lord, the picture makes me not want to go. Even if I thought about going, I'm like, no.
But look at the hot chicks down there. Show them the hot chicks. There's some hot chicks with some.
Ah, those aren't chicks. Oh, sorry.
Oh, there they are. Okay.
What in the hell is this? Yeah, we're going to celebrate and then eat pork.
So it's the cholesterol thing.
Cholesterol fair.
Cholesterol fair. Cholesterol. You get your cholesterol
that picture,
check there.
Right there. That picture looks. You know what? Very that picture. Tough. That is the scariest thing I've seen. You know, that looks like an alien testicle. I wouldn't even.
That didn't look very tasty.
Willie, someone took a picture of my nutsack.
I can't think of a lot better other pictures you can put up there, Bacon.
That I know. That was terrible. What was that?
It's like, let's pick the worst picture we possibly could.
It was like half raw, nasty stuff in the middle. What? Dude, that's like something you'd hear about Rosanna Dana back on the Saturday Night Live day. And they got these rolls of bacon, and I got one stuck in my tooth. And, you know, you'd be listening to this story for 20 minutes. My God, that was paranormal. That was right there. That's paranormal. That's awesome. Should have had a sound effect. That's paranormal.
I need to get some paranormal. All I got is conspiracy ones, though.
It's funny.
Is this an actual from your bathroom?
No, that's not my bathroom.
Okay.
I used to make these huge pyramids with the toilet paper.
Okay.
And I thought it was cool, and this is an actual picture of somebody with their pyramid. But I'm running low on it, so here you go.
Oh my God.
Well, who's the freak show in the front? It's like Colonel Sanders' mama.
That's scary.
Dude, she had something wrong with her. You know what? It takes a special kind of person to make a pyramid that big, though.
I'm going to try working on it. I'm going to restart it.
I don't blame you.
I'm going to get at least
you
two packages.
You have to beat Colonel Sanders' mama.
That's right. You're right. Jeez. It does look like Colonel Sanders' mama.
Does. Look, Geraldine Sanders there with her rolls of 3,000 toilet papers. Jeez, she's kind of deformed. She looks like a human bobblehead, man. She's like got this little bitty body and this head the size of a virtual planetoid. Probably full of toilet paper.
Get quickly to the snow one.
Okay.
That'll relieve you guys from having to see what you saw.
Oh,
I remember this one. There you go. That's a little better.
That's a little weird, too, though. What is wrong with you people?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six chicks out in a snowstorm bikinis.
Bikini sickles.
There you go. Hey, we'll be right back with more Apple Night with Mac and Travis.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
With huge egos and tiny penises. They're back, Mac and Travis.
Yeah, well, I'm a single guy and I'm looking for a good slot.
That's right.
We've had a wonderful time with
Here in KC, they say there's a few good slots every time I drive down 435.
There's none in Johnson County. I don't know.
It's over at Harris.
They're over, yeah, they're over north of the river.
Jackson County, I heard about sluts. I mean, slots.
So what do you got to give us? Well, you just got a few minutes. Tell us what's happening. You got anything in the works?
We got all kinds of stuff. We're getting ready to go. Of course, if you guys want to go join us on a paranormal trip, you can go to the Night Watchers. Actually, it's www.nightwatchersevents.com. That's a group called the Night Watchers. We go all over the country. There's 3,700 members, and we hit all these cool locations. Now, we don't all go at once, so that'd be a lot of people to hang out with.
Shit,
no, we usually do about 20 people per location, so everybody can check that out. That's nightwatchersevents.com. Of course, the Night Watch Show, that's the radio show, Night Watch. It's www.nightwatchradio.com. And everyone head over to jackaloperadio.com and check out that. We're going to start having the Up All Night Show.
All right.
I'm
going
to make that happen.
Sweet.
Because you know what? I'd like to think of us as brother and sister stations here in the area.
Yeah,
because, you know, we do a lot of stuff, and you guys do a lot of stuff, and we can come together on events and have some fun. And I just want you guys to know I've had a really good time here tonight. This is probably the best time I've had on a radio show in years, honestly. You guys are good people. Good
Thanks.
People here.
Yeah.
We like it.
Even though you do burn rubber over here in the corner.
Oh, yeah. We're holding back from our smoking. Usually there's a big...
I feel sorry for you. Right, you actually have to deal with the rubber smell? Oh, man.
Well, he's got me one over there.
Too. I'd say it's electrical fire. Electrical fire.
I got plenty of reinforcements. Yeah,
you do. You got them all. Jeez.
We'll have the fans going in the windows.
President Clinton would love you. I really like your stash.
I really love your stash.
You got a really good stash over there.
Where's Monica? I need to get this thing all wet again.
Oh, jeez.
Lord, oh, God.
Uh-oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I've got 2 pages of sound effects. Usually I'm going through them, but that was nice.
But everybody, seriously, this is a great show, so keep on supporting it, man.
Hey, man, come back if you feel like it. You know, anytime, we'd always anytime. Yeah, always have a good time, and...
I want to go on one of those paranormal things when I get
anytime,
back.
Anytime, man. You guys want to go to any of them, you look it up. NightWatchesEvents.com. If you say, hey, man, I want to go down to St. Augustine down in Florida, shoot, let's go. I'm going anyway. Let's jump.
That's
an extra person. Let's go.
There you go.
Hey, you might meet a hottie down there.
Oh, yeah.
She'll be dead, but, you know.
The Mac and Travis show has now moved to Florida.
Is she going to be a cougar?
I was going to say, she might be a ghost. I think it's a little past cougar.
Right now, I'll take a ghost. I don't have much going on.
So I got this haunting going on, right?
Does a zombie qualify as a cougar? That's next week on the show.
See y'all next week.
See you guys.
I'd probably do her.
I'd do her.
If I wasn't married, I'd do her.